When Joaquin Met Sarah by Toby Doyle. The Garza Security prequel narrated by Takia Software. This audiobook is free. Chapter 1.
That bastard stole our shipment.
Benny Jimenez slammed his phone on his desk and faced Joaquin. Joaquin Garza nodded, aiming for sympathetic, but really, Benny was complaining that someone stole what he'd been planning to steal. While impressed with Benny's mental gymnastics, Keen was tired of the man's sense of entitlement.
Where?
Benny's father, Jorge, asked.
About 40 miles north of Havana.
Benny paced in front of his desk. Keen stood in the doorway, having been asked to join the men by Jorge, and he was the only reason Keen and his Garza security team were there.
That's definitely cutting into our territory.
Jorge narrowed his eyes at his son.
What do you want to do about it?
Keen was expecting Benny to suggest violence, to be carried out by anyone other than him, and that was not something that Garza security offered.
We hit their next shipment. Get them where it hurts.
Benny pointed at Keen.
I want you to find someone on Ramos's team that can be bought.
Keen tilted his head to show he'd heard Benny, but he wasn't taking orders from him. They'd been hired to install a security system, nothing more. He faced Jorge and raised an eyebrow. Jorge nodded once. Keen turned and left the room.
If he had been doing his job, this wouldn't have happened, and then he disrespects me.
Benny spoke quietly, but Keen stopped in the hallway to hear Jorge's response.
He's here to install a security system, that's all. He's doing you a favor. You know he wants nothing to do with the business.
The sharp edge of Jorge's voice seemed to cut Benny.
Are you taking his side, again?
Benny whined. Keen kept walking. Jorge realized this was a favor, and that mattered. Benny was a bully, and Jorge had indulged him for too long. He left the main house with its beautiful beach views and headed toward the small cottage they'd been working out of. Jorge's complex featured the main house and three cottages. Jorge's family, including Benny and his wife, lived in the main house. His team had taken over the third cottage and two rooms in the guest house. House staff lived in the second cottage. Keen and the men had spent the last few days installing cameras on the exterior of the property. Keen was clear with Jorge that he was done getting involved in Jorge's off-books business. Jorge agreed and offered to pay him twice what he charged to get his men to come down from Washington, D.C., to install the system. Jorge trusted that Keen wouldn't leave any security risks, and he wouldn't tell anyone about the installation. Keen understood Jorge was getting older and more cautious, which he appreciated. Getting Benny out of the business would be even better. Jimmy greeted him with a nod.
What's up?
He held one side of a 70-inch television monitor, and Juju held the other. Need a hand? He asked.
Nah, we got it. Lift it 2 inches higher,
Juju said. Jimmy strained. The monitor clicked into the wall mount. Keen cocked his head to the side. Is it supposed to be crooked?
What the fuck?
Jimmy stepped back and examined the perfectly level monitor. He whipped his hand out and punched Keen's gut. Keen rubbed his stinging skin. Gotcha. Juju stood, his 6'5 Samoan body taking up a lot of the room.
Not funny.
He stretched his neck and then checked his phone.
Later, I gotta meet with the electrician.
He stopped in front of Keen.
Unless you got something to say about the meeting?
Benny's whining that Ramos beat him to a ship. He wants us to find out if anyone in Ramos's circle could be bought, Keen said.
He does or Jorge?
Jimmy asked. Jorge agrees and would owe us a favor. Keen faced Jimmy. I figure we can make a couple of calls. We still have friends in the area.
Sounds good to me.
Juju left. Keen felt like the room had doubled in size. Not that Jimmy was a small guy, but Juju was huge. Jimmy looked like a wrestler, stocky and muscular, with a broken nose that he never fixed. Jimmy leaned against the table and crossed his arms.
First, I can't believe I let you talk me into coming down here again. Second, are you seriously gonna call up another con and ask about Ramos? Why don't we just crawl into the trunk of a car and eat a bullet? It'll save time.
We both know Benny is a piece of shit.
Who you did 4 years of time for and the prick acts like he did you a favor.
Jimmy poked Keen's chest. Look, I trust Jorge. He trusts us. He paid me for my time, and it's in the past. Although he'd never forget, and he'd never trust Benny. We'll be discreet about the calls. Keen went through a mental list of who would have the information they needed. He crossed over to the mini-fridge, checked the time on his phone, and pulled out 2 beers. Jimmy needed some relaxation and reassurance. He'd known Jimmy growing up in their Miami neighborhood. But he'd been shocked to find him on his first day at Her Majesty's prison in Nassau. Keen had been 16, Jimmy 18, both sentenced for manslaughter and put in the same dorm room style cell with 30 other men. Their 4 years together forged their friendship into a brotherhood. Jimmy took the beer and screwed off the cap. He took a sip and closed his eyes.
Sometimes I forget how shitty life can be.
He cracked open one eye.
But then you bring back the memories.
Keen frowned. I get it. Look, Jorge's already paying us twice our normal rate, and now he'll owe us a favor. He opened his phone and scrolled through his list of contacts. I'm gonna call Anthony. The wiry black man had lived in Nassau his entire life and knew everyone. Jimmy nodded and drained the rest of his beer.
If he doesn't know, call Drew.
He tossed his empty bottle into the garbage and swiped another beer from the fridge. Keen remembered Andrew, just a kid who'd been caught with 40 kilos of pot. He was just supposed to transport it but was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Drew's living in the States now, right? Jimmy scowled.
I don't send them Christmas cards.
Is it because you can't write?
Fuck you.
Jimmy said good-naturedly. Keen relaxed and made the call to Anthony.
Hey, man, I've been waiting for your call. You on the island 3 days and now you call me?
Anthony's smooth voice held humor. Keen put his phone on speaker. Jimmy's with me.
I know, we should catch up.
That'd be great. Where and when? Keen asked.
There's a fish shack on Easton, near Colbert's Point. I can be there in an hour. Bring your brother you talk so much about. I want to meet him.
Keen grinned. Sure. See you soon. Jimmy looked up from his phone.
I texted AJ, Juju, and Randy and told them we got dinner plans.
He looked down at his shoes.
You ever tell AJ what it was really like there?
Nah. Keen fought hard to suppress most of his memories from his time in prison. Jimmy nodded.
I never told my mom, either.
He sipped his beer and twirled the bottle between his palms.
You okay if Anthony talks shit about you?
Keen sipped his beer. Yeah. Don't encourage him, though. Keen trusted that Anthony didn't want to relive the past, either.
How do you know this guy?
AJ asked from the back seat of their rental minivan. It had been the only vehicle available with enough seats, and Keen hated it. Or maybe he hated the fact that it was the international symbol of happy families with kids. Whatever, it was sluggish to drive, and he felt like he was the bus driver for Satan's daycare. Jimmy and I roomed with him. Keen let the statement hang. AJ nodded and looked out the window.
In college?
Juju asked, confused. Jimmy chuckled and slapped the back of Juju's head from the backseat. Juju rubbed the back of his head.
Fine, I'll keep the questions to a minimum.
He was the only member of the team that went to college, but Keen and Jimmy never talked about prison. Keen looked at AJ's expression in the rearview mirror. They studied each other for a moment before AJ spoke.
Any subjects we shouldn't bring up?
Jimmy grunted.
Nah, just listen. Anthony's got a million stories, but that's what they are, stories.
Keen pulled into the parking lot, reversing into the spot for a fast getaway. Just in case. Anthony was nursing a beer at the bar, and his face showed genuine pleasure at seeing Keen and Jimmy. Anthony, meet AJ, Juju, Randy, and O'Grady. Anthony shook hands with the men but then pulled AJ into a half-hug.
I heard so many stories about you, man. You still play soccer?
AJ raised an eyebrow and shot Keen a WTF glance.
I haven't played since I was 14.
That's a shame. The way your brother talked about you, I was sure you were going to be playing for Miami.
AJ's lips twitched and his shoulders relaxed. He punched Keen in the arm.
Nah. Soccer wasn't as cool as football when I hit high school.
He shrugged.
You know how it is.
Anthony hooted.
Attaboy.
He tipped his chin to Keen.
At least one of you was getting some.
Keen chuckled and raised an eyebrow, choosing not to reveal that Anthony got plenty in prison. Maybe this was Anthony's way of testing him. Let's get a couple of pitchers of beer, Keen suggested.
I'm hungry, too. Is the food good?
O'Grady asked. At 5'9", O'Grady was the runt of their litter but had the most muscle.
Best damn food on the island. I would not steer you wrong.
Anthony insisted. They found two tables and dragged them together. Keen sat at one end with Anthony beside him. Jimmy sat across from Anthony. I didn't think you'd ever come back.
I didn't think you'd ever come back.
Me neither, but he's persuasive.
Jimmy slid accusing eyes toward Keen.
Why are you guys here?
Anthony asked. Just a job. Shouldn't take more than a few more days. How you doing? Keen asked Anthony. He grinned.
Good, I got married and have a beautiful baby girl.
He pulled his phone out and pulled up his photo gallery. Keen and Jimmy made supportive noises about the kid as Anthony pointed out all the kid's milestones for the last 3 years. Huge dark eyes against light brown skin with a toothless grin that morphed into a toddler with Anthony's infectious smile. Even better, Keen could see his friend looking relaxed and happy. Really happy. A small part of him was jealous.
Married. Jesus. That's something.
Jimmy said. Keen figured it was a miracle. He didn't believe anyone would put up with their pasts.
What about you, got anyone special?
Anthony asked. Keen grunted. Nah. Been working too much to think about settling down. He didn't have trouble meeting women, but he couldn't picture himself with a family, living in the suburbs. He was good for a few dates, and then it was time to move on. All the guys were like that.
How about you? Still doing construction?
Jimmy asked.
Yeah.
Anthony drew the word out. Keen leaned closer. Yeah? That full time?
Pretty much. I got some side hustles, too.
Anthony raised an eyebrow.
You looking for a job?
AJ brought two pitchers of beer and mugs to the table. Keen poured a beer and handed it to Anthony. Nah. Business is good. You keep in touch with anyone else from back then? Keen glanced down the table and noted AJ was paying attention. Anthony shrugged.
It's a small island, you remember Eddie?
Keen remembered the jovial black man who worked in the kitchen. Yeah.
He's working at the Hyatt as a sous chef.
Anthony shook his head.
Can you believe that?
Jimmy sat back and grimaced.
No. People actually pay to eat food he makes.
Anthony slapped his hand on the table.
That's what I said. He said having quality ingredients makes a big difference.
Jimmy shuddered.
I don't believe it.
Anthony poured some more beer in his glass.
I asked if he still made hot dogs. He said no.
This time, Keen shuddered. I'll never eat another hot dog. They'd eaten hot dogs every day in Her Majesty's prison. Just the smell made him claustrophobic. Anthony held his beer up to tap Keen's mug.
Never.
He gulped down some beer and leaned back in his chair.
Who are you working for?
Keen figured Anthony was testing him. I can't say who it is, but I can tell you who it isn't. He leaned forward. You heard of Leo Ramos? Anthony scoffed.
Who hasn't?
His eyes widened and he sat back. He opened his menu and read through it. What's good here? Keen asked, wanting Anthony to be comfortable.
Best damn conch on the island.
Anthony answered.
That what you're getting?
Jimmy asked. Anthony closed his menu.
Yeah.
He drew a circle in the condensation of his beer mug.
Ramos isn't your client.
Nope, he's more like the competition.
Jimmy said. Keen hadn't wanted to say that much. He powered on, do you know if any of Ramos' team might want to change jobs? We've got some good opportunities, Keen hedged. Anthony smiled at the approaching server. The men placed their orders. AJ stood and grabbed the empty beer pitchers.
You ready for another round?
Hell yeah.
Anthony said.
Keen, your little brother is a beast.
Keen grinned. Yeah, turns out he grew while I was gone. Anthony's eyes clouded.
We missed out on a lot of shit.
K King nodded. AJ returned with fresh pitchers.
That was fast,
Jimmy said. AJ grinned.
Yeah, and she gets off at 11.
He waggled his eyebrows.
Nice.
Jimmy tilted his head, and Keen turned around to check out the bartender. She was pretty, curvy, with her hair pulled up into a ponytail. Anthony clicked his tongue.
That's my cousin.
AJ's eyes widened. He put his hands up in surrender. Anthony laughed and pointed at him.
Gotcha.
AJ relaxed and took his seat. Anthony glanced down the table and back to Jimmy.
How you doing, any little Jimmies?
I hope not.
Jimmy poured himself another beer. He shook his head.
I'm not looking to settle down.
He looked down at the table and pointed to Juju.
I'm thinking Juju's gonna be the first guy to fall.
Juju perked up, but Jimmy waved him off. Anthony nursed his beer.
I highly recommend it.
Keen grinned. I'm happy for you. And he was.
Thanks, so, you gotta understand, I got a wife and a kid. I'm not gonna ask questions that could blow back on me.
King nodded. Yeah, family first. Anthony raised his beer.
Family first.
The guys lifted their beers and toasted him. Ramos was dangerous. They were going to have to find another way to get the information without Ramos knowing. Unfortunately, none of the guys had those kinds of skills for the time frame Jorge wanted.
No hard feelings?
Anthony murmured. None, Keen assured him. Their dinner arrived, and the guys dug in. You're right. This is damn good, Keen said to Anthony.
Life's too short for bad food,
Anthony quipped. Jimmy and Keen cracked up, but the rest of the guys looked at them strangely.
What was that guy's name?
Jimmy asked. Carlos something. Keen searched his memory. He was moved to minimum, right?
Yeah.
Anthony turned to face AJ, Randy, and Juju.
This guy was over the top but so damn funny the guards never gave him shit. He went on a hunger strike when he first got there.
He turned to Jimmy.
How long?
Jimmy stroked his chin.
Had to be 3 weeks. I think he survived on water and cigarettes.
That's impossible,
Juju said. Anthony shrugged.
He wasn't housed with us, so I don't know if someone snuck him food. But he started something, and for about 3 months after his hunger strike, we had fresh fruit.
Oranges, Keen murmured. I've never had an orange that sweet again. Anthony smiled.
Wonder what happened to him?
Jimmy caught Keen's eye, and he shook his head. Keen's smile fell from his face. He plastered a new one on and poured Anthony another beer. They'd find another way to get the information and keep Anthony off of Ramos' radar. But then Anthony leaned over and whispered,
I've heard that Ramos is looking for a guy named Greaves who promised him something and didn't deliver. He's not from here.
Anthony leaned back.
That's all I know.
King nodded. Thanks. If you ever consider going into security, call me. Anthony scoffed.
Hell no, I like building shit, not following some asshole around.
He's got a point,
Jimmy said. He did. But he and AJ had plans to turn Garza Security into more that took clients willing to pay, like Jorge. The name Greaves wasn't much, but it could be enough. If Ramos wanted Greaves, Benny would, too. Keen dropped off the guys and drove to a bar that Benny's guys used as a hangout. He spotted Big Rob, Benny's usual muscle at the pool tables. Big Rob was a big guy, dark-skinned, with a small beer gut, dressed in cargo shorts and a wife beater that he usually hid under a shirt. Keen bought a beer and headed over to watch. Big Rob was good but cocky and seemed to plan for the next move rather than the game. He won and snatched the two $10 bills off the side rail and then nodded toward Keen.
Wanna play?
He asked. Sure. 8 ball. Keen pulled a 10 out of his wallet and set it on the side rail.
Sounds good.
Big Rob placed one of his 10s on top. Keen studied the pool cues in the rack mounted to the wall and selected the straightest one. He chalked the end. Big Rob leaned against the table, a coin in his hand.
For the break. Heads or tails?
He said as he flipped. Heads, Keen said automatically. Big Rob caught the coin and showed it to Keen.
Tails?
He said. Keen stepped back and watched Big Rob break. A striped ball fell into the corner pocket. He sunk two more before it was Keen's turn. Big Rob walked around the table, looking for his best strategy. He picked his shot and got ready to strike when Big Rob interrupted him.
"You know, I think I recognize you,"
Big Rob said. Keen sank the four ball in the side pocket, setting up his next shot perfectly. He raised an eyebrow and stood tall, narrowed his eyes and inspected Big Rob. Big Rob puffed up, but it was for show. The guy Big Rob had played with last chuckled. Keen shook his head. "I don't think so," he finally said. "I'm not from here." Big Rob waited until Keen was ready to take his next shot before speaking.
Yeah, I remember you."
Keen's six ball plunked into the corner pocket and struck the 15 ball, making it hug close to the edge, a lousy shot for Big Rob. He was going to have to miss the next shot if he wanted to keep the game going. "Yeah, where from?" Keen asked. He walked around the table, scoping out how to screw Big Rob's next shot with his.
"Nassau,"
Big Rob said. Keen turned to face him, looking at him closely. "I've been there," he admitted. Big Rob nodded.
"Yeah, I was there for 6 months."
That surprised Keen, and he was sure he let it show. If they'd been in maximum security together, he would have remembered Big Rob. Big Rob tilted his head to the side.
"Why'd you come back?"
His tone was razor sharp, accusatory. Tension spiked, and the hairs on Keen's neck rose. Maybe Big Rob thought he was a contract killer. Keen chuckled, raised a hand to show he was non-threatening, and gave Big Rob a half-smile. "I do construction now. All legit. I got a guy who wanted me to do some reno on his summer house and he paid too good to refuse." Keen shrugged, adding a "what are you going to do" expression. Big Rob relaxed.
"Nice."
Keen took his shot, missing the side pocket and screwing Big Rob's next shot up. "Damn," he said, like it had been an accident.
"Bad luck."
Big Rob slid off his stool and studied the table.
"You looking for more work?"
"Nah. I'm working with a good crew." This was the opening he'd been hoping for. "What about you?" Big Rob's eyebrows raised, and he chuffed.
"I'll be doing this job till I'm dead,"
he muttered. Keen heard the truth in his words. He understood. Big Rob probably never wanted to work for Leo Ramos, but he'd been threatened just like Keen. And now he was deep into the business, knew too much, and would never be allowed out. Keen had been very careful when working with Jorge, only getting the information to do the security install, nothing else. But Keen could use that to his advantage. Big Rob would probably jump at the chance to disappear. Big Rob took his next shot and then had nothing easy to hit. He tried a trick shot to push Keen's ball out of the way but ended up sinking Keen's on the white ball. He cursed under his breath and slumped on his stool, sucking down the rest of his beer. "I'll get this round." Keen caught the bartender's attention and motioned for refills. He grabbed the white ball out of the pocket and walked around the table, strategizing. He needed to keep the game going, but he also needed to lose. If he won, Big Rob might not take it well and then ask questions about the stranger in the bar. He wanted to know when Ramos was expecting his next shipment or what Greaves was supposed to deliver. Keen sunk two more balls before missing his next shot and leaving things difficult for Big Rob. Their beers arrived, and Big Rob held his up.
"Thanks."
Keen nodded. "You ever think about getting into a different line?" Big Rob chugged his beer and watched Keen warily. He set the half-empty bottle down.
"I'm loyal to my employer."
His tone was slow and serious, but Keen recognized the question in his eyes. "If you did something that proved that, I bet he'd let you take a vacation, disappear for a while." Keen emphasized the word "disappear." He drank his beer, watching Big Rob closely. Big Rob nodded slowly.
"Maybe. You got any ideas?"
"I heard there's a guy whose product was disappointing. What if you found another manufacturer?" Keen hoped what he said made sense. He'd assumed Greaves had a tangible product, but what if he'd been selling people? Big Rob's eyes widened, and he stepped closer.
"You know Anonymous or something?"
Keen dipped his chin once, keeping eye contact with Big Rob. Big Rob took his shot, clearing the table. Keen watched, keeping his cool. Was Leo moving into breaching networks and extortion?
8 ball, side pocket.
Big Rob sunk the ball and then swiped up the $10 bills.
I need a name.
Keen put his cue back on the rack. He turned to face Big Rob. I was just supposed to see if there was interest. They want the same deal as Greaves. Keen drank more beer, leaving it a quarter full. He didn't want to be weaponless. Big Rob's eyes widened, like the name had been a direct hit. If those terms are acceptable, we'll be back in 3 days. Keen headed to the parking lot, tossing the bottle into a garbage drum at the entrance before striding quickly toward his car. He headed back to the compound, calling Juju.
What do you need?
Juju answered. A computer geek at anonymous level. Greaves was some kind of computer guy. Find out more. Keen ended the call. At a stop sign, he texted the DEA agent who'd wanted him to be a confidential informant, there's great fishing here. Keen wouldn't be anybody's informant, but maybe he could wheedle some more information out. His phone rang, and Keen pulled into a hotel parking lot.
Keen, what kind of fish are you catching?
Agent Ray Morales asked. We got some huge marlins. It was a hell of a day. There was one that got away, but I got a friend who thinks he can find him. He's obsessed. Thinks this marlin is the key to enlightenment or something. Keen rolled his eyes at the conversation. Still, it was his phone and an open line, and he wasn't saying anything that would get him into legal trouble.
I think I've heard of that. I've got a friend that would definitely be interested. Let me talk to them, and I'll get back to you, okay?
Sure. Keen ended the call and headed to the complex. The DEA was in the Caribbean? Keen pulled into Jorge Jimenez's complex. When he was outside the house, he texted Jorge, I got news you may want to hear. Keen waited, saw Jorge's bedroom light turn on. A few minutes later, Jorge texted back, I'll meet you outside. Interesting. He didn't want Benny to know. Juju texted him, Greaves is a Purdue professor, supposedly working on encryption technology, like how to keep people out of your network and stuff. Keen texted back, if he knows how to keep people out, would he know how to hack in? Juju replied, probably, and that makes more sense for Leo Ramos. Jorge stepped outside wearing jeans and a t-shirt. The two men walked toward the beach. They waited until they were out of sight of the house before Keen spoke. Greaves is a computer guy from Purdue University. He supposedly promised something to Leo Ramos and didn't deliver, and now he's disappeared. He worked on network stuff, keeping people out, but maybe hacking in, too. Also, the DEA is in the Caribbean, or has someone in the Caribbean right now. Not sure if it's related to Greaves' disappearance or not. Jorge nodded and turned back to the house.
Say nothing to Benny. I'm going to make a few phone calls. See if we can turn this to our advantage. Thank you.
Keen nodded. You're welcome. The two men separated, Keen heading for his room and Jorge toward the main house. It was late, and there was nothing more to do right now. He'd fill the guys in on everything tomorrow. Besides, Jorge had good connections, and maybe he would work this to his advantage. Chapter 2.
If we're just supposed to install a security system, why are we security for Jorge's meeting?
AJ asked Keen, lugging a box of water to the 52-foot yacht, Excelsior. He'll owe us a favor. He's not meeting anyone connected, and I'm guessing he doesn't want Benny to know. At least Keen hoped Benny wasn't coming because he complicated situations. Unfortunately, both Jorge and Benny boarded the yacht 20 minutes later. Benny immediately went to the bar and fixed himself a drink. Keen settled himself behind the wheel, and AJ cast it off. Jorge approached him.
We're meeting here.
Jorge angled his phone so Keen could see the coordinates. Is the boat clean? Keen sure as hell didn't want to be boarded by the DEA if there was contraband on board. Jorge slid his eyes to Benny.
The boat is.
So, he knew his kid was using and still let him come along. Keen nodded to indicate he understood. AJ joined him in the cockpit. Jorge went below, hopefully to make sure Benny didn't get too high to screw things up.
Where?
AJ asked. Keen pointed to the nav system. Meeting with an alphabet agency. AJ blinked and let out a sharp breath.
Is that a good idea?
He looked at Benny. Probably not. Shadow him when the meeting starts, yeah? AJ nodded. Keen scanned the horizon and saw a similar yacht heading to the same destination. See if you can get the registration. He handed AJ the binoculars. AJ read off the registration, and Keen texted it to Juju with a note, find out who the boat is registered to. 15 minutes later, Juju called him.
It was originally registered to Jorge Jimenez and was seized. Who are you meeting?
Probably the DEA.
You're making the wrong kind of friends.
Juju cautioned. Yeah. Keen ended the call. DEA, he whispered to AJ. Dread curled in his gut. Maybe Jorge hadn't wanted Benny to come because if he was seen making a deal with the DEA, there would be consequences. But maybe Jorge was ready to get out. And that put a target on Jorge, Benny, and now AJ, Keen, and the guys of Garza Security. They were fucked and needed an exit strategy. Jorge joined them in the cockpit. Benny used the head, probably to snort shit. AJ joined Jorge on the deck as they approached the other yacht. Keen could see Ray watching them through binoculars. There was a man beside her. Who's that? Keen asked.
Thomas Smith, NSA.
Jorge replied. AJ checked his gun and settled it back in the holster. Benny shuffled onto the deck, looking subdued for the moment. Keen slowed the boat, idling to get close enough they could toss a line. Jorge tossed a line to Ray, and she tied it off. Another woman, petite, young, and pretty, stood in the cockpit. She looked nervous as hell. She stood next to Thomas, who seemed to reassure her.
Sarah Waters?
Jorge asked. Sarah nodded and attempted a smile, but it looked like she was smelling farts.
Yes, sir.
Jorge turned on the charm, giving her his warm smile and reaching out toward her.
I'm Jorge Jimenez. We have a mutual friend who suggested you might be able to help me.
Help him? What the fuck was the DEA and NSA up to? Sarah moved closer to him.
Senior Jimenez, please understand that I am unwilling to do anything illegal.
Keen shot AJ a look. She wasn't DEA, then. Who the fuck was she? Jorge laughed pleasantly.
That's fine. In fact, that's better. Come aboard and we'll discuss my problem.
Sarah looked over her shoulder at Thomas, who nodded yes. Was she a confidential informant? How were those two related? Ray gave Keen a chin nod and then focused her attention on Benny, like she recognized who was most likely to fuck up this meeting. Sarah reached for Jorge's hand, and he helped her on board. Thomas glared at him, like Sarah was Keen's responsibility to keep safe. Keen held up his phone and took a picture of the guy, sending it to Juju. He wondered why the NSA was in the Caribbean, and when did they start making deals with cartels. Sarah glanced back at Thomas for reassurance, but he was too busy giving Keen the evil eye. Jorge took Sarah below. Benny and AJ followed. Keen stood in the doorway.
Please sit.
Jorge motioned to the couch. Sarah sat on the edge of the couch, confusion on her face as she took in the surroundings.
You noticed the similarities in our yachts.
Jorge sat on a bar stool.
Yes.
Her voice was stronger now. She seemed to relax.
You have the 2007 model. It was mine until someone confiscated it.
Jorge explained. Sarah pressed her lips together, like she didn't know what to say. It wasn't like there was a Hallmark card for sorry you got caught for pirating and your assets were seized. Benny leaned against the kitchen counter. He smiled, making him look approachable. Jorge spoke up.
This is my son, Benito.
Sarah shook his hand.
Nice to meet you.
Call me Benny.
He was pouring on the charm, and she was lapping it up. Her cheeks turned bright pink, and she took a moment before she could look away. Sarah turned to Jorge.
What can I do for you, Senior Jimenez?
Jorge narrowed his eyes.
You heard of Leo Ramos?
Sarah's expression faded.
He owns Vuelta.
How do you know him?
Jorge asked.
Senor Jimenez, I'm consulting for the NSA.
Sarah paused.
Every part of this conversation will be reported back to the NSA. Do you really want to continue talking?
Nice move. Benny gripped the counter, like he was preventing himself from slapping her or something.
Leo Ramos is expecting a shipment next week. I'd like to know where and when,
Jorge said. Sarah smiled politely.
If I can find the information, I'll let you know. I was hoping you could help me find a missing colleague, Carl Greaves.
Benny grunted.
Get us the schedule. We'll get you Greaves.
Sarah swallowed.
How can I contact you?
Benny handed her a white business card with a phone number embossed on the card. He smiled, looking to suck her in, but this time she didn't falter. Sarah took the card and stuck it inside her pocket. Jorge stood.
We hope to hear from you soon.
Yes, sir.
Sarah nodded to Benny and Jorge and stood. Keen moved, giving her ample room to exit. A floral scent teased him as she passed. And then she was gone. Thomas helped her across and hugged her. She seemed to sink into him. The fucker was using her, and she was so out of her depth. Ray tossed the lines back and waved. Keen wanted to know who the guy was, but curiosity had a price, and he wasn't willing to pay. Chapter 3. Keen tied off the yacht to the Jimenez's private dock. AJ lowered the ladder and stood back as Benny and Jorge disembarked. The two men had been arguing since Sarah Waters left. AJ handled the yacht, emotionless, but as soon as the men were out of sight, he raised an eyebrow. Yeah. Shit was off. And she'd mentioned Greaves, the Purdue University professor who'd gone missing and worked in encryption. Keen wasn't sure how he was involved with Ramos. Garza's security really needed a computer guy. And how did the beautiful woman get stuck in the middle? She looked out of place and scared. He stalked to the security office. AJ followed beside him. They'd wait to talk once all the guys were there. Garza's security was small but growing, and they were a team. Decisions were made as a team. Something bad was going on between Benny and Jorge, and he didn't want to be around to see the conclusion. It was time to finish up their security installation and leave. Keen entered the large office, checking out the wall of monitors the guys had installed. Most of the monitors were hooked up. Keen watched Benny walk across the patio toward the swimming pool. AJ stood in the doorway. The room was already too crowded. Let's take a break. Keen crossed the room to the mini-fridge and pulled out a six-pack, handing the beers to O'Grady, Jimmy, Randy, Juju, and AJ.
Guess we're not running then.
Juju took a beer and followed AJ outside. The men walked silently to the beach where they usually started their morning runs if the weather wasn't blazing hot or thundering rain.
What's going on between Jorge and Benny?
AJ, his younger brother who had several inches and several more pounds of muscle on him, twisted the cap off his beer and pitched it like a stone across the water. It skipped a few times on the top of the water.
Benny's an asshole, and Jorge needs to tough love that shit out of him,
Randy said. They walked down the beach. Their shadows stretched long in front of them. Joaquin took a sip of the cold beer, swallowing and enjoying the cool sensation spread through his chest. I don't trust Benny. We need to finish the job and move on.
Not that I disagree, but why now?
O'Grady asked. I think Benny is angling to start a war with the Ramos family, Keen admitted. Did you figure out who the other guy on the boat was?
Yeah, Thomas Smith. He won a couple of awards for his service to the Navy SEALs, but it looks like he works for the NSA now.
Juju jogged ahead and turned around to face them.
There's more. He changed his name from Giovanni to Smith when he joined the Navy. His family is connected.
Keen cursed. So, the NSA and DEA were at the meeting today, and they're using Sarah Waters for something, and Greaves and Ramos are involved. This will not end well. We gotta go. Juju nudged Keen with his elbow.
I'm good to go. Personally, I miss air conditioning.
You just want to leave because you're getting so dark even your twin won't recognize you.
O'Grady smacked Juju on the shoulder.
Hey man, that's insensitive.
Juju said seriously and then cracked a smile.
My brother would know me even if I was purple.
Yeah, you want to test that theory.
Jimmy stepped forward and punched Juju's arm. Juju handed his beer to O'Grady and punched Jimmy in the gut. Joaquin looked at his team. They were all in their 20s except for O'Grady, who might be closer to 40. O'Grady assumed the role of project manager. He kept shit together and made sure they had the supplies needed for jobs. A year ago, he'd shown up at their DC office, introduced himself, and said he'd heard they were looking for a guy like him. He told them he'd try them for a few months to see if it worked out. Joaquin liked him immediately. AJ watched Jimmy and Juju spar on the beach, a half smile on his face. He'd changed from a goofy kid to a quiet man while Keen had been in prison. Keen wanted to know what had happened, but AJ refused to talk about the past. Since he'd gotten out, they'd been working together. Keen wanted to make up for the time he'd lost with AJ, and AJ seemed to like the work and was damn good at protecting others. Juju swept his leg behind Jimmy, knocking him on his ass. Jimmy laughed.
Good one.
O'Grady grabbed Juju's arm and held it over his head.
Winner, fight over.
He handed Juju his beer. Juju wiped his hand down his shorts, sweeping the sand off. We'll tell Jorge we can monitor from DC, or if he wants, we can help him find some guys to do security on premises. But we gotta go. Keen tipped his chin toward O'Grady. How close are we to finishing installation?
Just the dock,
O'Grady said. Jimmy wiped his face on his shirt, cleaning his bloody lip.
I should have that done tomorrow.
The main house and grounds are done, and everything appears to be online. A couple of the locals who have helped with the install might make good guards if you want me to talk to them.
Randy drained his beer and tucked the bottle in his pocket. Joaquin considered this. Their background checks were good?
Perfect,
Randy said. Good. Find out if they're interested. It'll be easier to persuade Jorge we're ready to go if we have people lined up to take our place. But I don't want any of Benny's guys on the security team.
You think Jorge's in danger?
AJ asked. I do. Sarah's face popped into Keen's head, her uncertainty, her politeness. The kid was in over her head if she could hack into Ramos's business like Benny thought she could. AJ tilted his head to the side like he was analyzing his words before speaking.
Benny hits his wife. We need to take care of that shit before we leave.
Jimmy stood tall, puffing up his 6'2 frame. He was a big motherfucker, a Navy brat with an abusive dad. He'd beaten the shit out of his dad after he broke his mother's arm for the third time. Unfortunately, he'd killed his dad in Nassau, on vacation, instead of the United States. Still, they gave him a reduced sentence, but if he'd been in the United States, Keen wondered if they'd have charged him at all. His broken nose was a promise that he didn't fear pain. Most people feared him, but Keen knew he was a good man.
Why are we letting the fucker live?
Jimmy stopped, slapping his empty beer bottle against his palm.
Does Jorge know?
He took a step closer to AJ, poking him in the chest.
If you knew this, why the fuck didn't you stop it?
AJ stepped back and held his hands up in an I surrender pose.
Because I haven't seen him hit her. I noticed the bruises and I asked. She said she fell down the stairs. Those bruises weren't from fucking stairs. She's scared as hell. I think Jorge is scared of Benny.
If she's not willing to tell us, there's nothing we can do.
Juju crossed his arms.
But we can make damn sure the security guards know and we'll keep her safe.
Jimmy nodded once and continued walking down the beach. He stopped and pivoted.
What happened today?
Keen rolled his shoulders, his muscles relaxing with the alcohol buzzing through his system. I don't know. Maybe I imagined it, but Jorge talked with a woman today who said she could get Leo Ramos's schedule, and I swear Benny got a hard on. After she left, he suggested they nab her. Jorge said no dice, but I think Benny's gonna grab her. Keen scrubbed the back of his neck, hating the sensation of the hairs raising on the back of his neck. We gotta get out. He definitely didn't want to be involved in kidnapping, nor with the DEA or NSA.
I'll finish the doc tomorrow,
Jimmy vowed.
I'll get 4 vetted guys to do security.
Randy clapped Keen's shoulder.
I'll talk to Benny's wife, let her know she can trust the new guards. Maybe I can persuade her to take a trip,
AJ said. O'Grady grunted.
Give her a weapon. Teach her how to use it. I'll plan our departure.
I'll make a training manual for the monitors and alarms so the new security staff don't fuck shit up,
Juju promised. King nodded, his chest relaxing. He released a breath and looked out over the horizon. Good deal. I'll check my contacts to see if Benny's planning on grabbing the girl and how we can fuck up that plan for him. He rubbed his chest, his heart pinching at the thought of the beautiful young woman in Benny's grasp. She was keeping company with Thomas Smith, NSA and connected, and that meant she had both the US government and Thomas's family ready to help. But Keen didn't trust Thomas. The asshole had intentionally introduced Sarah to Benny. He was using her, and that was unacceptable. Chapter 4. Keen stood outside Benny's window, listening to him berate his wife. The bastard didn't care who hurt him. Maybe he could persuade Jorge to find an apartment for her in town. A phone rang, not Benny's usual tone, but Benny answered. Keen peeked into the room. Benny's wife was curled up in a ball against the headboard with the sheets pulled up to her chin. Benny paced the room, a burner phone in his hand. He ducked down and pretended to inspect the landscaping.
She worked with Greaves.
Benny's voice grew louder, like he was heading toward the window. Joaquin eased away from the window and decided to plant a bug in Benny's office. He needed to keep track of what the shit was planning.
Don't worry about it. I'll make her a deal she can't refuse.
The blood rushed in Keen's ears. He remembered the bullet Benny had left on his mother's car. A threat to confess to Benny's crime, or he'd kill his mom. At 16, Keen believed it. He confessed to manslaughter, a crime he didn't commit, but he'd witnessed it. Keen had sneaked into a bar and saw Benny break a bottle and shove it in the guy's neck during a fight. Jorge paid for his lawyers and his time served. Benny treated Keen like he'd done him a favor instead of fucking up his future, his head, and his relationship with his family. He walked along the building, turning into the kitchen and out of Benny's line of sight. Who was Sarah Waters, and what did she work on with Greaves? He really needed to know more about the guy to find out why Benny wanted her so badly. Maybe they could help prevent a kidnapping. Jorge didn't seem on board with the idea. Morning, Marta, King called out to the chef who looked like she could have been 100 years old, but she was quick-witted and talented. Her grin creased her face, creating a cascade of wrinkles from the corners of her mouth to her eyes.
Hello, handsome. I baked your men muffins.
Keen leaned down to kiss the tiny woman on the cheek. You're the best. He patted his belly. But I think you are trying to fatten us up. She grinned.
Nonsense. I just enjoy watching you boys running down the beach shirtless.
Keen barked a laugh and took the plate of muffins. Well, thank you.
If you really want to thank me, get some shorter shorts.
She gave him a saucy wink. Yes, ma'am. He headed for the security office and put the plate on top of their mini-fridge, taking a muffin for himself and one for Jimmy, who was at the dock installing the last of the security cameras. The guys descended, and the plate emptied quickly.
I love her blueberry muffins,
O'Grady said with his mouth full.
Can we hire her?
Ask her, Keen said.
I'm sure you could come up with some kind of incentive she'd enjoy. He'd let O'Grady figure that out on his own. He pulled a laptop in front of him and Googled Thomas Giovanni. The story of Thomas' father being murdered in front of him popped up. He was looking pretty chummy with the rest of his family. What are the chances Thomas is working both sides of the game, or was asked to work both sides of the game? And why'd he involve her?
Keen's muscles coiled tight. The guy was totally fucking her, getting her involved in shit that would have consequences that'd haunt her for the rest of her life. Maybe she deserved it, but he didn't think so.
Juju, did Sarah Waters and Greaves work on similar stuff?
Keen turned his chair around to face Juju.
I'll check.
Juju accessed the internet and started searching for papers Greaves had written. His search for Greaves and Waters came up with a hit for a research paper. Juju opened the abstract for the paper. "What the fuck is heuristics?" Keen asked.
"It's a problem-solving technique, like trial and error or educated guessing. Programmers try to emulate it when they're creating artificial intelligence and stuff,"
Juju said. "How do you know that?" Keen glanced at Juju, who'd started right after Randy. He'd been ex-military, son of an ambassador, and had some medical training in the Navy, but Keen had never asked what he'd studied in college. Juju lifted a shoulder.
"YouTube documentary,"
Benny said. "Greaves and Sarah Waters worked together," Keen said. Juju nodded and typed wickedly fast.
"Ha, Purdue University."
He continued typing and then whistled.
"She's cute."
He leaned back in his chair. O'Grady and Randy stepped closer. "Jesus, they just put her picture up there and everything for anybody to find?" Keen thought that was kind of shitty.
"It's her work."
Juju gave him a side eye and typed his name into the computer. Garza's security information came up, along with pictures and their work address.
"Why are your panties twisted?"
O'Grady asked. "Benny's planning on threatening her to do something. It just doesn't seem right. Seems like we should help her." Keen turned and faced the guys. They stared at him like he had an alien on his head eating his brains. Fuck. Why did he care? Because that's how these guys worked. She'd get stuck working for Benny and being threatened daily. AJ nodded slowly.
"She looked scared."
Keen swallowed, encouraged by AJ to continue. "Thomas Giovanni brought her here. I think he's setting her up. And Giovanni's family was connected, so the bastard knew what kind of danger he was putting her in." Juju kept typing.
"Waters is working on encryption technology, too. Maybe Benny wants to hire her for the business?"
Juju raised his eyebrows. O'Grady chuffed.
"Nah, Benny's not that smart.
Greaves has a bunch of papers, but on Rate My Professor, he's got low scores,"
Juju said.
"What the fuck is Rate My Professor?"
AJ asked.
"It's a site where students bitch or brag about their professors. He's not liked. She is, though."
Juju pushed back from the computer.
"What do you want to do?"
"I'm gonna make a call." Keen stood and pointed to Jimmy's muffin. "I'll be back and don't eat Jimmy's muffin." He headed to his room and pulled out a burner phone. Using his own phone, he looked up the bar Drew said his family owned in the Caicos. He left a message, asking the bartender to have Drew call him, and went down to the docks to check on Jimmy's progress. Jimmy was finishing wiring the camera. He tipped his chin and smiled.
"You look like you found hair in your food."
Keen got close enough that he could whisper. "I called Drew. I think we need his help." Jimmy pursed his lips.
"Okay. What kind of help?"
"Answers." Keen picked up the screws and screwdriver and helped Jimmy install the camera. "The girl at the meeting."
"How old is she?"
Jimmy asked. "College."
"Okay, didn't know if I needed to beat some sense into you."
Jimmy gave him a side eye and continued installing the camera. Keen scowled. "Anyway, Benny's planning on threatening her to do something. She's hanging with Thomas Giovanni, and I think he's using her."
"And you want to help?"
Keen nodded.
"Kay."
Keen felt the pressure in his chest ease. Jimmy understood. Drew called a few hours later and said he'd find out why Greaves and Sarah were important to Ramos and Benny.
"My cousin's interested in working as a bodyguard. He's a good guy. Smart,"
Drew said. "So, nothing like you," Keen quipped.
Yeah. "You got a spot for him? He needs training."
"We'll give him a try, see if it works out," Keen promised.
"Cool. I'll find out about Greaves and call you back. My cousin's name is Carter."
"Thanks. I appreciate it." Keen ended the call and hoped Carter was a good guy like Drew promised. Drew was more of an ally than a friend, but they'd developed trust. Benny opened the door, and the afternoon humidity crept in.
"AJ, come on."
AJ glanced at Keen, raised an eyebrow like he wanted to know what he thought. Keen nodded. Wherever Benny was going, he wanted to make sure Sarah was safe. He tapped his cell phone and AJ nodded. They'd track him from the office as soon as AJ turned on his location settings. Keen didn't like Benny taking AJ, because he probably thought of him as expendable. But AJ was smart and could handle himself. And they'd be watching.
Chapter 5. AJ followed Benny's directions, keeping his mouth shut. Sweat broke out on Benny's forehead, and AJ wondered if it was nerves or drugs. His mood swings suggested drugs. Benny lit a cigarette.
You know why I asked you to come?
AJ shrugged a shoulder and turned his attention back to the horizon. He wouldn't be surprised to see one of Ramos' guys trailing them. Benny chuckled.
Yeah, that's why. You never ask questions. You don't interrupt. I want you to stay here and work for me.
AJ raised an eyebrow.
You don't want to work for your brother forever.
Both eyebrows raised. No, thanks. I like working with Keen. He and Keen were partners, but Benny wouldn't understand loyalty. Benny raised his hands.
Think about it. I've got big plans.
I will. AJ wanted to ask about his plans but decided it was better to drop the conversation. Benny made a phone call in the cramped cabin of the sleek cigarette boat. He climbed back into the cockpit.
Head to the gas dock. We're going to pick up the girl and have a chat. We'll take her a couple of miles south, just to make sure she's out of range from any of Thomas's NSA toys.
AJ didn't correct Benny's assumption, but he guessed the NSA had surveillance that could track from satellites. They pulled up to the gas dock, and AJ refilled the tank. Benny escorted Sarah from free time to Benny's toy. The motorboat was conspicuous with its bright red color and loud engine, but it went fast. Sarah looked nervously back at Thomas. Thomas nodded and called out,
"We'll find you."
Sarah paled. What a fucktard. He could have insisted they talk aboard the free time. Keen was right, Thomas was using her. AJ casted off the lines and climbed aboard, revving the engine and taking off. The boat slapped against the waves, and AJ waited until they were about 2 miles out before slowing the engine and allowing the boat to drift. He turned and stood over Sarah, motioning for her to stand up. She complied, and he pat her down for listening devices and weapons. She was muscular but tiny, like maybe a dancer or gymnast. AJ pulled her shirt up and ran his hand around her waist. As he reached for her breast, Sarah gasped and slapped his hand away. He faced Benny to see if he wanted him to continue the search. Benny shook his head no. Sarah sat down, her cheeks pink and her chin sticking out.
I thought we would meet tomorrow.
Do you have the information I want?
Sarah cut her eyes to AJ.
Yes.
Benny tilted his head, waiting for her to continue.
I'm looking for Dr. Greaves. He was a professor working at Purdue who disappeared. Do you know where I might find him?
Sarah asked.
Maybe,
Benny said. AJ knew he didn't have any clue to Greaves's whereabouts. Sarah asked,
Is he alive?
Benny shrugged.
Probably.
Crap.
She sighed, and AJ thought it was funny. She didn't seem all that put out that Greaves was dead. Benny cleared his throat.
Were you too involved?
Gross.
She grimaced.
He's a jerk. Who has him?
AJ wondered, too, but he kept his poker face on. Sarah turned to look at Benny. He shrugged his shoulders.
Please find out and let me know,
Sarah said. Benny raised his eyebrows and remained silent. Sarah sat back and waited. Not a silence filler. AJ liked that. He looked out over the horizon and saw the free time off in the distance, closing in. Sarah nodded toward the boat.
Here's the deal. I have the information you want and a little more. I'd like to make a deal with you.
I'm listening,
Benny said. AJ heard the excitement in his voice.
There may come a time that I need a favor. I would like to be able to call you,
Sarah said.
What kind of favor?
Benny asked.
Nothing illegal. I may want to leave before the NSA wants me to leave.
Benny smiled.
I might be able to accommodate you.
Sarah sighed.
Look, I'm just a computer geek. I'm not cut out for dealing with Ramos. Ramos' next shipment is tomorrow, Wednesday in West Caicos. Probably in the afternoon. I can get his schedule for the next 6 months. You give us info on Greaves, and I'll give you info on Ramos.
She paused and pulled the paper from her back pocket and handed it to Benny. His eyes grew narrow, and his face flushed. He handed it over to AJ, who read it. It looked like Benny's client list. He remained emotionless, but he was impressed because that meant she hacked into the computer on the compound.
How did you get this?
Benny's voice no longer had the relaxed tone.
That's the info I want to trade for the favor.
Her voice was stronger, more confident.
Done. How did you get this?
Benny's voice was demanding.
No one ever believes me, but I swear to God, I Googled it. You have information leaking.
Sarah watched the free time getting closer. She stood in front of Benny. AJ stood next to her but realized she had turned so Thomas couldn't read her lips.
Okay, the short version is, you need to get all of your business associates to stop putting their information on the same computer they go online with. You need to have only one computer that has access to the internet. I suggest getting one of those $200 Acer laptops. Don't save any information on the internet computer. Keep it separate. Finally, I've got a program that can allow you to access the internet anonymously. I'll put on eBay for the next 38 hours. Just search for fluorescent gophers, pay with a coupon, it's your phone number, and download the program to an SD card. Stick the card into your laptop when you turn it on and use that program as your system. Don't call me if you have a problem. Thomas is listening.
Did you give this list to Thomas?
Benny asked.
No, and I cleaned my computer. There's no trace of the search.
You don't trust Thomas?
Benny asked.
I don't trust anyone,
Sarah said bluntly. AJ liked her. Keen was right. They needed to help her get out. He turned on the engine and took off, causing Sarah to fumble as she sat down. AJ approached the free time and idled. Sarah winked at AJ as she left.
See you later, Chatty Cathy.
He nodded once. They'd have her back if shit hit the fan because Thomas certainly didn't seem to care. But then Thomas hugged her. Could she be stupid enough to be involved with him?
Find out who has Greaves and fix the computer leak problem.
Benny pointed a finger at AJ like he was Benny's minion. Fury bubbled under AJ's skin, ready to explode if Benny touched him. Benny retracted his finger and narrowed his eyes as if assessing the risk. AJ held his gaze for a moment and then focused on the horizon. Benny was a piece of shit and needed to die. Karma was moving too slow in his opinion, but he'd promised Keen he wouldn't touch Benny. Not because Keen wanted to handle it, but because Keen didn't want AJ risking his future for the asshole. AJ forced himself to relax before responding. I'll work up a quote for the internet job and email it to you. We don't find people unless it's hostage retrieval. You'll have to find another outsource for that. AJ tried but heard the malice in his tone. It was why he tried to say as little as possible to Benny.
You're hired to do security,
Benny argued. AJ faced him. We were hired to install a security system. He maintained eye contact until Benny backed down. Benny narrowed his eyes but then nodded his head.
Fine.
He smiled, oozing charm.
I hope you consider my job offer. You would have full reign over security for us.
Like that was a benefit. AJ scanned the horizon, at his speed, and hoped he could make it back to the complex before he punched Benny. AJ joined the guys on the beach when he returned.
What happened?
Keen asked. AJ told them everything, including the two new jobs Benny wanted. No more jobs. We're out of here, Jimmy said.
Besides, I don't think anyone knows where Greaves is. Maybe he's hiding in Brazil,
Juju added.
Still, I'm gonna download Fluorescent Gophers. We should use it.
We should hire her,
Keen said.
We need to figure out an extraction plan for her without Benny knowing.
Agreed, AJ said. As soon as Benny realizes nobody knows where Greaves is, he's gonna take her.
Fuck it. We need to warn Jorge. If she's the NSA and DEA pet, they'll be pissed.
Keen grimaced.
I'll reach out to the Giovannis, see if they can talk some sense into Thomas.
Wonder what his endgame is? Jimmy asked. It couldn't be for some professor, right? There's got to be more.
Can you find out what that is,
Juju? Keen asked.
I'll try, but my skill set is limited,
Juju said. AJ cuffed his shoulder. Find someone who has a better handle on this shit. We can hire a consultant.
Got any ideas on how to find them?
Juju asked. Keen stopped and looked at the dock about a half mile away.
I got a couple of ideas. Last one to the dock buys dinner.
Keen took off running toward the dock. AJ followed, but Jimmy sprinted past him. He pushed harder, running side by side until they both passed Keen. Keen grunted but was close at their heels. Randy called out from behind them.
Assholes, I'm making spaghetti for dinner.
AJ hip-bumped Jimmy, making him stumble, and touched the dock first. Jimmy responded by throwing a punch to his gut. The punch stung, taking all of AJ's air with it. AJ leaned over, hands on his thighs, trying to take a breath. Juju and Randy joined him. Juju shook his head.
You realize being first wasn't the prize. You just didn't have to be last.
AJ grinned. Yeah, but I was first.
Chapter 6. Joaquin joined the men in the main room of the guest house. It didn't have beach views, but it had privacy. He closed the windows and turned up the fan because he didn't want anything they said leaking out. Randy handed him a plate of spaghetti with a piece of garlic bread, and they sat down on the couch. Thanks. Juju, AJ, O'Grady, and Jimmy were seated around the small kitchen table.
What did you find out?
Jimmy asked. He twirled the spaghetti on his fork and shoveled it into his mouth. The ends flicked spaghetti sauce onto his shirt. It's about a lot more than territory. The Giovanni say Ramos is into human trafficking, but now he's got a client with very specific wants. They think he's supplying organs for recipients.
Christ!
Juju whispered. It gets worse. That guy, Greaves, he supposedly had some program that could hack into anywhere, like a hospital. They could get medical records, find matches, hunt them down, and sell them for spare parts. Keen looked at the noodles swimming in red sauce and set the plate on the table. AJ grunted.
That's seriously fucked up.
Yeah. Keen agreed. So, if Ramos had or as Greaves, he could be in a bunch of people now. I don't think we're going to find him. When I met with Jorge, I told him that the US government was involved because some of the missing people were American and the shit is gonna hit the fan real soon. I urged him to take a trip because he doesn't want to be anywhere near it. He said they'd take the yacht to Miami. He asked for us to go along, but I reminded him we're out of here. I gave him Randy's list of trustworthy security guys. He knows we're leaving tomorrow or the next day.
You trust the Giovanni's intel?
O'Grady asked. Yeah. Because they also said Thomas wanted any info about Benny's interest in Sarah. He pulled a paper with Thomas' contact info on it. They gave me his contact info in case we need to alert him. He's not so fucking stupid that he doesn't recognize the shitstorm he put Sarah in. If Ramos finds out that she's talking with Benny and worked with Greaves, she's next on his list. I told them about the argument between Benny and Jorge. They'll pass it along. Keen picked up the piece of bread and took a bite. The perfect crunch, tang of garlic, and salt from the butter settled his stomach.
What else?
AJ asked. He glanced at his brother, who knew he was holding something back, but this time he wasn't afraid to ask. I put a bug in Benny's office. We can take it out when they leave, but I don't trust the bastard. He doesn't care if he fucks Jorge over. AJ's eyebrows skyrocketed, but then he resumed his impassive expression.
I think that's a good idea.
Keen pulled his phone out and opened the app. There was silence. The men continued eating while they waited for Benny to say something. Eventually, the tone of the burner phone he'd seen Benny using sounded.
You found her.
Benny said.
Where?
There was a pause.
Take three men. I want her unharmed.
Who is he talking to?
Jimmy asked. No idea. It's his burner phone. AJ, get some ammo. Let's take the cigarette boat. Juju, see if you can figure out where Sarah is. Keen shoveled some of the spaghetti into his mouth, not knowing when he'd get his next meal. He stood, continued shoveling and swallowing until he got to the kitchen. He grabbed two more pieces of garlic bread, a Kevlar vest, and three extra magazines for his gun.
You're gonna get heartburn,
O'Grady said as Keen headed out the door. Heartburn was better than having Sarah's death on his conscience. When he got a chance, he'd figure out why she bothered him so much. AJ jogged behind him.
You think Benny will notice we took the boat?
Nah, we'll drive out slow before we open her up. They cast it off and were drifting when Juju texted coordinates with the message, from Thomas. She's on the boat with Ray. He appreciates any help. Keen replied with a thumbs up emoji, letting Juju know he got the message. He just hoped they got there before Benny's B team. Keen checked the fuel gauge before opening it up and racing toward the coordinates. He and AJ held on, bouncing as the boat skimmed across the water. The unmistakable sound of gunfire ricocheted off the island, but it was impossible to tell where it was coming from. Keen slowed the engine, approaching the cove cautiously. Two more shots went off. They were in sight now. It was almost dark. The large white yacht was anchored. A smaller motorboat searched the water about 50 yards away. Maybe they decided to swim for it. AJ aimed his rifle and took a shot. They both ducked as the boat returned fire. AJ readjusted and fired once more. This time when the boat returned fire, he didn't move, just fired back.
Got him,
he whispered. Keen pulled the boat up to the yacht, and AJ jumped off, tying the boat to stop it from drifting. A shot whizzed by Keen. AJ settled low and took two more shots. Keen rushed below. Ray leaned against the couch, pressing a bloody rag to her shoulder. You okay? Keen asked. Ray nodded.
What's inside?
AJ asked. Wrong chick. She's shot but okay. He leaned down close to Ray, her color was fading fast. Hey, where's Sarah?
She's out there. She dove off the boat, you've got to find her.
Her voice was tired but strong. AJ shot twice more at the boat, and someone returned fire. AJ shot again.
Got him,
he whispered. You get Sarah, hide her. I'll get Ray to the hospital, Keen said. AJ nodded and turned. Keen helped Ray onto the couch, pulling her rag away to see if he could help stop the bleeding. He heard AJ's footsteps overhead. It's oozing, but close to your subclavian. He put the rag back and looked around for something to help add pressure.
Where will you guys take Sarah?
He glanced at her. At least she was concerned about Sarah. Someplace safe, don't worry, we'll return her when it's safe to come out. She nodded. He grabbed a towel from the head and a short piece of nylon rope and tied the towel as tightly as he could to her shoulder. Ray winced but didn't argue. Sarah came below soaking wet and clutching a bag of M&Ms. She perched beside Ray.
Are you okay?
I'll be fine. You go with AJ, Keen's gonna take me to the hospital. Take your laptop, we'll email you instructions.
Ray sounded certain of herself. Sarah murmured her agreement but eyed Keen warily. She headed to the front berth and returned a minute later, carrying her tote bag and a bag of M&Ms.
Let's go,
AJ said from above. He ducked down and caught Keen's attention, like he was making sure everything was good. Keen nodded and AJ climbed aboard Benny's cigarette boat. Keen pulled a water bottle out of the fridge and unscrewed the lid and handed it to Ray. Any preference on where I take you?
How much time until I bleed out?
She asked. Keen figured they had an hour max before things got shaky. She didn't wait for his answer.
Closest hospital, hand me my phone.
She pointed to the floor, under the table. Keen reached down and handed it to her. We're headed to Lyford Quay. See if you can have someone meet us at the marina.
Okay.
Ray settled the water bottle between her thighs and opened her phone. Keen went above and weighed anchor. The other boat had drifted toward the beach. It figured that Benny would hit when Thomas was gone. If he was some star for the Navy SEALs, it was because he'd followed someone else's plan. Whatever the fuck he thought he was doing had just endangered two women. Asshole. He started the engine and set a course for Lyford Quay, then texted Juju he'd need a ride home. He reminded himself AJ was good at protection. They'd be fine. Except a part of him itched to be the one taking care of Sarah.
Chapter 7. AJ helped Sarah onto the boat and hopped on after her. He started the engine and took off quickly, causing Sarah to fall off the seat. AJ looked back and smiled. She muttered,
I knew you did that on purpose.
He raised one eyebrow. You must really love chocolate. Sarah looked at the bag like she'd forgotten she was holding them and tossed them in her tote bag. She looked miserable. She grabbed her tote bag and headed below. A red bloom of blood streaked the back of her shirt, and it was growing. Hey, you're bleeding.
I know, that's what the chocolate's for.
AJ kept the grin off his face, but still, he liked her spirit. Sarah peeled off her wet shirt and shorts. She held up the shirt, studying the 9-inch slit across the back. She dried off using another t-shirt and dressed, giving him the stink eye for watching the show. He was a guy. She was beautiful. Still, he looked away. She came up holding a clean shirt to her front and turned around.
How bad is the cut?
The first 2 inches weren't bad, but it got deep for about 3 inches, and then it was a scratch. You're still bleeding, and it'll scar. You need stitches.
Can you clean it and glue it for me?
Yeah, when we stop. He scanned the horizon. If they were Benny's guys, they'd probably gone out without backup. Still, he would rather get her back safely on land before stitching her back. Sarah slipped the shirt over her head and pulled it tight across her back. She sat leaning forward, and her breathing was returning to normal. Then she started shivering. AJ pointed down below and nodded to her. She needed to get warm and out of the cool air to give her body a chance to get rid of all the adrenaline. She did, perching on a seat, holding on as they raced back to the complex. He texted Jimmy to let him know they'd be there in 20 minutes and the guys would have to run interference and get Benny and Jorge out tonight if they had any chance of keeping her hidden. They approached the small cove, and he slowed the engine. Sarah looked green, her hair was a knotted mess, and she moved slowly, gathering her things. She moved to the cockpit doorway. AJ looked down and grimaced. You look like shit.
May I come up?
He nodded. What happened? Sarah clutched her tote bag and sat across from him.
I don't know, exactly. Ray went to check on who was coming in the cove, and they shot her. She told me to get out, so I tried, but one guy grabbed me and tossed me down. I kicked at his knees and blew them out.
She smiled a little and scrunched her nose.
I've always wanted to do that,
she whispered.
Then, when I tried to dive overboard, another guy swiped at me.
She turned around to see her back.
I chummed the waters until you came.
AJ said nothing, but realized maybe she wasn't as helpless as Keen had thought. They entered a small cove, and he could see a dock up ahead. Jimmy waved, and AJ slowed the boat, putting it in reverse for a moment and letting it drift to the dock. Jimmy tied off the boat and then offered a hand to Sarah, helping her down. AJ grabbed her tote and started walking to his cottage. Sarah ran to keep up with him. She grabbed the tote bag's handles and wrestled it out of his hands.
I've got it.
She sounded haughty, like she was afraid he was going to steal it or something. So much for feeling grateful for saving her life. AJ slowed down. When they got to the cottage, he opened the front door and waved her in. Upstairs. Sarah groaned. Her color had returned, and in the cottage's light, he could see dark circles under her eyes. He threw her over his shoulder, tote bag and all, and hustled up the steps. The sooner he got her out of camera range, the better. She squeaked in protest but held on. In the bedroom, he let her down slowly. The room looked like a luxury hotel room, complete with flat-screen television and a small mini kitchen. AJ flipped the lights on. He pointed to the bathroom. You can shower in there. You need to clean up, or your back will get infected. He aimed for keeping his voice pleasant, and she didn't flinch, so he figured he'd nailed it. She brought the tote bag into the bathroom and closed the door. He texted Jimmy, "Who's here?" Jimmy replied, "Benny. Jorge and Ava left. Staff is gone. That was good. But someone needed to keep an eye on Benny." Jimmy added, "O'Grady is watching Benny." That made AJ smile. The guys he worked with were good, smart, hardworking, and like family. AJ pulled off his coat and Kevlar vest. Jimmy would have taken care of the rifle and ammo, so he didn't need to worry about that. He poured himself a drink of water and waited for her to get out of the shower. He was tired. They'd been working long hours, and he hadn't been sleeping well. He kept waking up to strange noises, although after Keen had gone to prison, he hadn't slept well ever. He pulled the first aid kit from under the sink when the shower stopped. The bathroom door opened, and a sweet and feminine scent wafted toward him. He figured she'd brought her shampoo with her. Girls were so weird. He have packed the basics. She was dressed in jeans and had her hair pulled up in a ponytail. She held another shirt to her front and set the tote bag carefully against the wall.
I left my wet clothes on the floor in there. Do you have a washer and dryer?
Sarah kept her eyes on the floor. Don't worry about it. Lie down on the bed. AJ held the first aid kit and nodded toward the bed. Sarah laid down on her stomach, still clutching the shirt to her front. AJ went to the bathroom and snagged hydrogen peroxide and a couple of towels. He set the towels around her to catch the liquid and then poured a small stream over her wound.
That's cold.
Sarah's body tightened. AJ blotted the wound with a towel, cleaning her carefully. He poured more hydrogen peroxide on it and then dried her off. It had stopped bleeding, but there were about 4 inches that needed to be stitched. You sure you don't want stitches? He murmured. Sarah turned and glared.
How would I know? I can't see my back.
He raised his eyebrows in warning. She yielded.
Just use your best judgment.
Too late for that now, you're already here. She laid back down and took a deep breath, releasing it slowly. He pulled out a small syringe of lidocaine from the kit and injected around the deepest part of the wound. Sarah flinched at the first injection and then remained still. He added 6 stitches. It probably needed 12, but she was curling her toes. He added glue strips to help reinforce the stitches and then an antibiotic cream and gauze. Sarah sat slowly, still gripping the t-shirt to her chest. He went into the bathroom to wash his hands and put stuff away but caught her pulling her shirt on. She really had a fabulous body. She caught him staring when she poked her head out through the collar and rolled her eyes. A smile flickered across his face. You want anything?
Tylenol, Aleve, chocolate, wine, and privacy?
AJ leaned against the door jamb and shook his head. He turned and opened up the cabinet and pulled out Tylenol and Motrin, tossing them to her on the bed. Beer okay?
Beer's great, thank you.
He returned with 2 beers and finally asked, what's in the M&M bag?
I forgot.
Sarah clambered over to the bag and pulled out the M&M bag, and as she went to the bathroom and laid the bag on top of the towels and carefully opened it, checking the inside and pulling a phone out.
Thank God.
You might have a problem with chocolate, AJ teased.
No, it's my phone. I just grabbed the first bag I could.
Sarah sat down on the bed next to him and dialed. He could hear it go to voicemail.
I'm okay, I'm with AJ. Joaquin took Ray to the hospital. I've got my laptop and phone. Ray said you'd email me instructions. I'm going to turn my phone off. I don't want to be traced here. I hope you're okay.
She turned off the phone and put it on the bedside table. So she called Thomas, not Ray. Interesting. She rolled her neck from side to side and looked at AJ like she expected him to say something. But he wasn't a silence filler. She nodded to him. He raised his eyebrows.
What are the chances of me getting the bed to myself tonight?
She asked. Not as good as you getting the couch.
It was worth a try. By the way, thank you for stitching me up. I really appreciate you coming to help Ray and me.
You're welcome. At least she remembered to thank him, although expecting his bed was a bit much. You owe us a favor, though. Sarah grimaced.
I thought Benny owed me a favor.
She rubbed her temples like she had a headache.
Any possibility you'd bring me back to Washington, D.C.? I can actually pay you. I just don't have money on me right now.
AJ wished he could get her to D.C. right now. She was like a time bomb ready to explode, and he was hiding her in his room. Still, there would be consequences to helping her and consequences for killing 3 of Benny's men if anyone talked. I think you'd better talk to Thomas first. I believe he has plans. Get some sleep. AJ left her in the bedroom and headed downstairs, wanting to know if Keen arrived safely. Randy and Jimmy were seated on the couch, and the television was on. Nothing's on the news, Jimmy said. Keen check in? AJ asked.
Yeah, Juju's gonna pick him up from Lye Ford Key Hospital. The girl okay?
Randy asked. Yeah. She's got a knife wound on her back but, AJ felt himself smile, I gotta admit, she's tough. Randy cocked his head.
Think she'd work for us?
AJ shrugged. I don't know. Be nice and maybe she will. He stood. And by nice, I mean don't try to get in her pants. Randy rolled his eyes.
I don't shit where I eat.
Juju scoffed.
We'll hold you to that.
AJ went back upstairs, locked the bedroom door, set his gun beside the bed, and undressed. Sarah slept peacefully, and he wasn't going to drag her to the couch. He climbed under the covers. If she had a problem with it, she could move. He woke up when she slapped him. Hey, knock it off. He moved, but she kicked and then slapped his ear, and it stung. He pinned her down and waited for her to wake up from whatever nightmare she was having. Wake up.
What? Let go.
Sarah brought her knee up, but he turned his hips before she could make contact. You were hitting me. If you promise to stop attacking me, I'll let you go. Sarah relaxed and he rolled off her. She immediately hopped out of bed. She was wearing a shirt and panties. O'Grady would get an eyeful on the security cams. Sarah, you probably don't want to do that.
Why?
She snapped. The kitchen and door are monitored 24 hours a day. I think the guys would enjoy your outfit, if you're okay with that.
Fine.
She glared and yanked on her jeans. She grabbed her pillow, and he heard her settle on the couch. He closed his eyes but woke up suddenly when he heard someone in the bathroom. He pointed his gun at the intruder. Sarah stood in the bathroom doorway with the bottle of pain reliever in her hand. He lowered his weapon slowly. Sorry. Just get into bed.
That's okay.
She scooped up a sweater from her bag, grabbed her phone, and went back to the couch. They needed to get her home soon, before he did something stupid, like shoot her.
Chapter 8. AJ, Keen, Randy, and O'Grady gathered on the beach for their morning run. It was the end of shift for O'Grady, and Keen was surprised he decided to run.
How'd it go?
AJ asked. She'll be fine. She was arranging a flight back to Miami. The guys started off at a jogging pace to warm up. How's Sarah?
I stitched her back up. She's got a 9-inch long knife wound, but only about 4 inches are deep.
Keen's chest froze for a moment. She's gonna be okay?
Yeah. She's tough.
Benny texted me this morning. Wants us to find his missing guys, Keen said.
What did you tell him?
O'Grady asked. I told him we only do hostage rescue. He needed another company. Keen took a deep breath and picked up his pace. AJ chuffed.
Maybe we say it enough, he'll believe it.
We're gonna have to move her,
O'Grady said. I'm working on it, Keen said. He'd talked to Thomas himself last night. They'd agreed to a meeting place off radar so Ramos and Benny wouldn't suspect they were involved. Hopefully. There's a lot of moving pieces, and it'd help if we could get Benny out of here.
Maybe suggest he look for his guys himself,
Randy said.
Or suggest Ramos has his guys,
O'Grady added. That could work. Keen looked over at AJ. He didn't want this shit blowing back on them. It was impossible to know if anyone saw them leave last night. They needed to come up with a story about why they took the boat and where they went. They reached their turnaround point, and AJ stopped.
What's our story? The guys stayed here, and we went for a brotherly fishing trip.
Keen thought back to the marlin fishing conversation he'd had with Ray. Yeah. Marlin fishing. But we had no luck. We wanted to go because we were leaving.
Today, right?
Randy asked. We gotta drop off the girl first. Thomas is gonna find a spot. He's got people watching Ramos. We're supposed to monitor Benny. It wasn't a great plan, but it could work. Let's head back. Keen jogged a few paces, and AJ caught up with him. The two ran until Keen's chest begged for more air and his legs screamed in protest. They ran harder, the dock in sight. When they reached the dock, Keen slowed, letting AJ get there first. Keen massaged the stitch in his side. AJ leaned over, catching his breath. He stood and hugged Keen quickly, releasing him and stepping back.
It'll work out, and Jorge will owe us a favor.
Keen clapped his brother on his back. Yeah. Keep her safe. Thomas said it's personal. And that thought pissed him off for some unknown reason he wouldn't investigate. And AJ, if she can give you Ramos's schedule, get it. It might help distract Benny. AJ saluted him.
Will do. AJ returned to his room and found Sarah working on her laptop on the couch. He approached, intentionally towering over her. It's time to give me Ramos' schedule. Sarah kept her eyes on the screen and typed. He peered at the screen. Chicken enchiladas? Sarah ignored him and asked,
Do you have a printer I can hook this up to?
AJ opened up a cabinet under the kitchen cabinet and pulled out a USB cord. Sarah hooked it up and pages spurted out. She had Ramos' schedule. Who the fuck was she? What other recipes do you have? Sarah blanched.
The deal was for Ramos only. If you want more, you'll need to get me the name of who has Greaves and safe passage back to the U.S.
AJ flipped through the pages. I'll let you know what I can do. She didn't need to know they were working on that. Sarah disconnected the printer.
AJ?
She sounded scared again. He stopped, giving her his attention.
What are the chances of me getting out of here, you know, mostly healthy?
He smiled. Excellent. Is that why you couldn't sleep? Tears welled up in her eyes, and AJ panicked.
I have had the world's crappiest week, and it doesn't appear to be getting any better.
He sidled toward the door. It can't get worse, though.
I hope not.
She rolled her neck around and shook out her shoulders.
I hate to be a bother, but please tell me you have coffee.
I have coffee. He didn't, but that's not what she asked for.
Oh, thank God.
She sighed and searched through the kitchen, opening cabinets and finding dishes and a couple of pots. AJ opened his bedroom door and called out Keen's name. Keen appeared and ran up the stairs. She got Ramos' schedule for the next 6 months. AJ didn't hide his surprise.
Don't piss her off today. Maybe she'll work for us.
Keen took the papers.
I'll have Jimmy make copies after I shower.
Hey, where is the coffee?
Sarah called out. AJ closed the door. I don't have coffee.
But you said you did.
Sarah whined. No, you asked me to tell you I had coffee. His lips twitched.
Jerk.
Sarah muttered.
Can we get coffee?
Yes. AJ went into the bedroom to get his phone. Sarah slapped his ass.
Coffee, now.
AJ turned and pinned her to the wall. He'd promised to protect her, but she'd already smacked him upside the head and now she slapped his ass? He would stop that shit now. Her eyes widened, and then she smiled and batted her lashes.
My, you move fast for such a big guy. Were you once a professional wrestler?
You're really annoying. He had to spend a whole day with her. She was exhausting.
I've heard that. I'm trying to work on it, but I'm lacking some self-control. So, were you a professional wrestler?
No. He counted slowly, reminding himself that he was supposed to protect her. Maybe he could trade with Juju. Her phone rang, and he released her. A loud male voice spoke.
Sarah, are you okay? Where are you?
The asshole had time to talk to Keen but not Sarah. Should he tell her or let her figure out she wasn't his first priority?
Yes, and I don't really know. I'm staying at a cottage with AJ.
Sarah smiled at AJ. She walked into the bathroom and closed the door for privacy. He couldn't hear Thomas anymore.
Not bad, just a couple of stitches. How's Ray?
She said.
Thomas, who were they?
AJ figured they'd already found the guys based on Ray's information. The more people who knew, the more likely it'd get back to Benny.
How scary is this guy?
Sarah asked. AJ wondered which guy she was asking about. He ran downstairs and grabbed two coffees and some stuff Marta made and brought it up to the room. Sarah opened the bathroom door, and he handed her a cup.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
She was really something. Sarah danced over to the cabinets.
How do you like your coffee, big guy?
He sighed. Black. I don't think we have sweetener. He took the cup from her and narrowed his eyes. You're exhausting. Sarah punched him in the arm lightly.
See, I knew I'd grow on you.
He leaned on an elbow and rested his chin on his hand but reached for a blueberry muffin with the other. The blueberry muffin was sweet and moist and made him hopeful he could find a way to tire her out so he could take a nap.
So, what's the plan for today?
Sarah reached over and picked up a blueberry muffin.
Do you mind if I have the blueberry muffin?
Yes, he minded. She could take the biscuit. He said nothing. It was going to be a long day, and he was tired. Chapter 9. AJ texted Keen for Benny's whereabouts. He'd take her to the gym to burn off some energy. Keen responded, in his office. Distraction worked. Sarah finished her coffee and muffin, washed the dishes, and used the bathroom. She was pretty cute, but she was more energy than he was used to. I don't like morning people, he admitted. Sarah snorted.
I swear, I'm usually not this perky. I think it's the stress.
AJ looked at her carefully. She seemed sincere enough. Let's go to the gym.
Fabulous.
She trounced to the bedroom and returned a minute later in a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. He finished his muffin and walked out the door with her following behind. They went down a different trail, circling the perimeter and taking the long way to the gym. He'd check later to make sure they were still on camera. She jogged alongside him in her flip-flops. He slowed down, making it easier for her. Jorge's gym was nicer than most apartment complexes' gyms. It had a range of weight machines, treadmills, and a boxing ring. In the corner was a climbing rope that hung from the ceiling with a bell on top. He doubted Benny ever used it. Sarah squeaked.
Oh, I love those.
She took off her flip-flops and ran to the rope. She scaled about halfway up and then did some kind of weird routine on the rope, twisting and spinning. AJ gawked. He closed his mouth. Climb to the top and ring the bell. Sarah hung upside down with the rope wrapped around one leg and her other leg pulled to the back of her head. She straightened out, climbed to the top like it was no big deal, and rang the bell. You're strong. He managed to keep the surprise out of his voice.
I'm little. There's less of me to pull up. I spent one summer working in a circus. God, that was fun.
Sarah wrapped the rope around her waist and leg.
Watch this.
AJ sucked in a breath when she let go of the rope and tumbled down, rolling over and over and then stopping with the rope twisted around both of her legs like a harness. She slid down the rest of the rope and carefully unwrapped herself.
Man, that felt good. I haven't done that in years.
AJ nodded, regaining his composure. What else did you do at the circus? Sarah smiled, her face glowing.
I learned how to ride a horse and an elephant. I only did acrobatics for my performances, though.
That's cool. I've never met anyone who was in a circus. Sarah's smile broadened, and she shrugged her shoulders.
It was easily my most favorite summer.
Why did you leave? Although, traveling with a circus could get old. Sarah shrugged.
It was just a summer job.
She tried to look at her back.
I think I might have popped a couple of stitches on that roll.
You want me to check? AJ crossed the room to where she stood. Fear crossed her face.
It's okay, maybe later.
She headed to a weight machine. AJ fired up the treadmill and jogged for a few minutes before increasing his speed. He watched her out of the corner of her eye. She knew her way around a weight room. A circus? And a computer geek. She stretched after her first set, all long lines and muscles. AJ looked away, increasing the angle to uphill and ran harder. She didn't seem like the kind of woman that'd get involved with a cartel, but she didn't seem like the kind of woman to be in a circus either. She was unpredictable and that made him wary.
Chapter 10. Keen cleaned the monitors of the leftover spray from Juju accidentally spilling and tossing his water in the air when Sarah did the weird rope thing. Juju left to put his laptop in rice, but Keen figured it was fried. It had been impressive, and the cameras were working really well.
Check this out,
Jimmy said.
We can freeze a frame and send it to ourselves.
Send that to me. Keen pointed to the frame where Sarah slid down the rope with an enormous smile on her face. She really enjoyed life. He hoped Ramos and Benny wouldn't fuck that up for her.
What the fuck?
Jimmy asked. Juju and Randy had entered the gym and were headed to the boxing ring. What the hell are they doing? Juju was supposed to be right back, Keen groused.
We should tell O'Grady. He's gonna be pissed he missed the rope thing,
Jimmy said. Let him sleep, Keen warned. He didn't know why, but he didn't like the idea of the guys all watching her. Jimmy put his phone down.
I texted him. He can ignore it or join us.
They watched Randy and Juju sparring. Keen checked the monitors to make sure Benny was still in his office. He'd set the app to record, and they could go over it later. O'Grady was staying in a bedroom upstairs. He joined them.
What did I miss?
A rope thing.
Jimmy pulled up the video and let O'Grady watch. Keen didn't like the way his eyes lit up, but he understood. She was like watching pure joy. He checked the monitors for Benny, and then O'Grady hooted.
She's getting in the ring with Juju.
O'Grady reached behind him and pulled a beer out of the fridge. Since he'd worked the night shift, this was more evening to him than daytime. She was a foot shorter than Juju, but she was fast. Keen figured she had a chance to get a few punches in before Juju took her out. He trusted Juju. He knew he wouldn't hurt her.
She bowed. She must know some kind of martial art.
O'Grady chuckled. She kept out of Juju's reach, and he bounced from foot to foot. Neither seemed willing to make the first move.
Wish there was sound,
Jimmy said. Keen did too. Juju finally moved forward and jabbed at her chest. She grabbed his hand, stepped behind his leg, and had him flat on his back.
That was awesome,
O'Grady said. Yeah, Keen agreed. Randy and AJ were doubled over laughing in the gym. Sarah extended her hand to Juju and leaned into him like she was whispering. Juju nodded. This time, she made the first move, a front kick to his nuts. He blocked it and feinted a hook at the same time she whipped a round kick to his ear, which missed because he moved, and her foot connected with his nose. Juju bent over. His hands covered his nose. Please tell me you have that recorded, Keen said.
Yeah.
Jimmy wheezed out between his laughter. I want that as my screensaver, Keen said. Sarah patted Juju's arm and seemed to console him. Blood flowed freely down the front of his shirt. He waved her off and climbed out of the ring. Randy handed him a towel. He was still laughing. Sarah stood in front of AJ. She seemed very serious as she talked to him. AJ wiped at tears. He took a few breaths, but chuckles kept rolling out. Finally, he shook his head no. Keen was worried she would piss off AJ or worse, persuade him to get in the ring. They said a few more things and then went to the wall, and the cameras turned off.
That's not good,
Jimmy muttered. Is there a way we can override them? Keen asked. Yeah, O'Grady punched in a code, and the cameras were back up and running. Let me make myself clear. After this, nobody is to touch her. Don't even talk to her if you can help it, Keen said. Jimmy raised his eyebrows, and a slow smile spread across his face.
Is that how it is?
She's with Thomas.
How do you know that?
Jimmy asked. Thomas told me, Keen admitted.
Yeah, but she didn't.
Jimmy flicked his eyes to the monitor. Shit. Keen winced. She'd climbed onto AJ's back and jammed her thumb into his jugular notch. AJ looked like he wanted to murder her but pried her off his back and tossed her gently to the mat. She rolled away and stood. AJ stood, watching her like he was waiting for her to make the first move. She won't make the first move. She knows self-defense. Somebody ought to teach her how to fight, Keen muttered. AJ slowly closed the distance and punched her gently in her stomach. She grabbed his hand and tried to put him into a block. It would have been effective if she was stronger, or he wasn't built like a Coke machine, but AJ switched the grip and had both of her hands. She jumped up and wrapped her legs around his waist tightly. She leaned in and kissed him on the mouth. Keen stood suddenly, ready to kill his brother.
Hold on,
Jimmy warned. AJ returned the kiss and released one of her hands and held onto her back. She let go suddenly and tried to get the second hand free.
Nice distraction,
O'Grady murmured. AJ was faster. He grabbed both her hands and forced her against the ropes. He looked pissed, but he released her and stepped back. They exchanged a few words, and then he punched at her stomach. Sarah knocked his hand away. AJ tried a couple more shots. She moved to climb out of the ring, but he blocked her. She whipped her hand up, jabbing him in the throat while planting her leg behind him and tossing him over her hip. Sarah stood over him with her foot on his neck and spoke. Well, that's one way to end a fight. Keen sat down. AJ laid on the ring mat, coughing. He rolled over to his knees and crawled out of the ring. He was still coughing while Sarah fled the gym. Fuck, where's Benny? Keen searched the monitors and found Benny in his office, looking out to the courtyard.
Do you think he saw her?
Jimmy asked. I don't know. He should have been watching Benny, not Sarah. AJ joined her and took her out of the line of sight of the house. Keen watched Benny in his office, talking with someone on the phone.
Bring her in here. We'll watch over her, and you keep Benny occupied,
Jimmy said. Good idea. Keen headed over to the cottage he and AJ were sharing and texted him. Benny might have seen her. Bring her to the security office and cool off. He entered his room and packed. They all needed to be ready to go. He sent a text to Juju and Randy telling them to pack up their equipment and load the van. They needed to be ready to leave.
Chapter 11. If you're smart, you'll forget everything that happened today. AJ's voice was stronger but sounded raspy to his own ears.
Okay,
Sarah whispered. Where'd you learn to fight? AJ cleared his throat a few times.
I joined a taekwondo dojo at Purdue. I am really sorry I hit your windpipe.
I liked your first distraction better, too. Her cheeks pinked up.
I'm so glad I amuse you.
You should be. Anyone else would be dead. He took her to the security office. Keen was right. He needed to cool off. If they wanted to work with her, he needed to not encourage her, whatever the hell it was. He entered the security office. Can you train these guys to search like you do using Google? She nodded, her eyes wide. It was just Jimmy and O'Grady. She'd already broken Juju's nose and nearly broke his windpipe. She'd be fine. Good. Search for Greaves, Thomas Smith, and yourself. She sat in front of a keyboard and put her game face on. He left her with the guys and went back to his room, leaving the door open in case Keen wanted to chew his ass out. He poured himself a glass of water and waited. Keen leaned against the doorframe 2 minutes later.
You need to pack. We're leaving tonight.
You got the spot?
Yeah. I've written it down. I don't want you tracked,
Keen said. Me? Why aren't you taking her? Keen frowned and pushed off the doorway. He sat on the couch, and AJ leaned against the kitchen counter.
I think it's better I don't get too close.
Keen screwed up his face.
I'm attracted to her and will probably say something that'll piss off the NSA or the DEA or Benny. It's better you take her.
He smiled weakly.
Besides, we've just seen she can kick your ass.
AJ felt his nuts tighten. Keen liked her. And how did he know what happened? I turned off the cameras.
There's an override in the security office.
Keen chuckled. AJ rubbed his neck. It fucking hurt. He drew in a breath and coughed a few times. Do I get workman's comp? The guys were going to give him shit for ages. Keen grinned.
Sure, pack your stuff. I'll make sure it gets home.
AJ pulled his duffel bag out of the closet. What's the plan?
Thomas picked a spot in the national park. You'll take Jorge's SUV, and Thomas will pick her up.
What kind of issue? AJ opened the dresser drawer and pulled a stack of folded clothes out and tucked it neatly in the bag. He checked his gun magazines, put one in his back pocket, one in his front pocket, and wished his pockets were bigger. They needed cargo pants or something. Keen scratched his ear.
If Benny sees her or if the guard gives you shit about taking the car, you'll abandon the car and we'll pick you up. Otherwise, we'll pick you up from here.
You guys aren't going to be here? AJ went into the bathroom and grabbed his toothbrush.
Nah. We'll leave 15 minutes after you do. Text us when you're back on Main Lumber Road. Number one is the complex, number two is Red Bay. Anthony says he knows a guy that can take care of the car.
AJ zipped up his duffel bag and handed it to Keen.
Try for number one. Number two may cost us the favor.
AJ nodded. Keen stepped closer.
But be safe. Family first, yeah?
AJ smiled. Yeah. Keen left with his duffel bag, and AJ checked the room to make sure he wasn't leaving anything behind. He grabbed Sarah's tote bag and filled it with her clothes, wrapping the damp things in a towel. He put the tote bag by the front door. He went to check on Sarah. The security office was full. Juju was asking Sarah questions. He changed his shirt and sounded stuffed up. How's it going? AJ asked. Sarah whipped her head around to AJ.
I want to check out Greaves' first wife.
AJ handed her a cold bottle of water. Okay, why?
I don't know. He never mentioned her. I think it might be interesting. I'm wondering if there's a connection between Greaves and Ramos through her. Greaves didn't strike me as the kind of guy with cartel connections.
Fine. Want a sandwich for lunch? AJ crossed to the door.
Yes, please.
Me too,
Juju said. Jimmy and O'Grady raised their hands. AJ headed to the kitchen and grabbed a platter of sandwiches Marta had made. He was going to miss her. She'd even put a bowl of fresh fruit out for the guys. He carried them back and made sure Sarah got a sandwich before the guys descended. What's Benny up to? AJ asked. Keen tipped his chin.
He just left. Took the Maserati.
AJ relaxed. Sarah dove back into the search, and Juju asked her more questions while the other guys just watched.
There's no connection between Greaves and his wife. They didn't grow up near each other or attend any of the same schools. How did they meet?
She asked. Does she have any siblings? Jimmy asked. She typed furiously and then squeaked.
That was good. Yes. Greaves' brother-in-law and he went to high school together.
Jimmy smiled, happy with the praise. She started a search on the brother-in-law and the Caribbean and immediately got a hit for Esperanza, a local charity organization. She pulled up bank records that she'd saved in the recipe file and scanned through them.
I knew the name was familiar. Greaves has been paid by Esperanza small amounts over the years. Just a few $100s here and there.
How do you get his bank records?
O'Grady asked. Sarah drew in a breath.
The NSA helped with those.
Lie. Jimmy narrowed his eyes. Yeah? Then how did you get Ramos's schedule? Sarah's eyebrows froze halfway up her forehead. She looked like a deer caught in headlights. She pulled her shoulders up and tilted her head to the side.
Any other questions?
Now that was interesting. Maybe she could hack into anywhere.
Did you guys figure out who might have Greaves?
Her voice was strained. Jimmy shot him a glance. She's lying. AJ nodded. Sarah perked up.
What was that look for? What did you find?
AJ nodded to Keen and hung in the doorway. Was she gonna be safe if they handed her over to Thomas? Sarah looked between Jimmy and O'Grady. She nodded to Jimmy.
We haven't been introduced. I'm Sarah. What's your name?
Jimmy gave her an "Are you serious?" look. AJ understood. She could hack into anything, he was certain of it. She could screw them all over for kicks. Sarah rolled her eyes.
So, did you all graduate from the Marcel Marceau Military Institute or what?
Keen chuckled. Jimmy glared.
Right. If you're not going to tell me your names, I'll call you Thighs of Fury or Toffee, and you Lance.
She pointed to Jimmy.
Because that sibling comment was really sharp.
Jimmy blinked and looked at Keen. He pursed his lips and shook his head like he was considering changing his name. Truthfully, if she'd Googled Jimmy, the first story that would have come up would be the manslaughter charge. A new name might be good. Sarah massaged her forehead.
It's like I'm in a different reality.
She researched Esperanza.
Do you recognize this charity?
She asked O'Grady, who probably would be called the Toffee from here on out because hey, Thighs of Fury was a mouthful, but funny. He nodded yes. Sarah rolled her eyes.
Do you know sign language? Seriously?
He glared in response.
What about you two?
She asked AJ and Keen.
Are either of you gentlemen familiar with the charity, Esperanza?
Keen nodded, looking up from his phone.
They specialize in assisting children's organ transplants.
His low voice rumbled. Sarah blanched. What? Asked AJ.
What if that's what he's shipping? They seized a ship from Ramos that had 9 adolescents.
She pulled up her chicken enchilada recipe and read through the coded data.
Did you have any luck translating Ramos' schedule?
Keen shook his head.
Didn't need to. They took him down yesterday. There's no way they'll keep the same schedule now.
Why Thomas had chosen to be there instead of on the boat with Ray and Sarah, AJ couldn't guess. The man needed to adjust his priorities. She examined a charity research site, hunting for Esperanza. She hit paydirt at wisedonator.com, finding the board names, names of major donators, and, even better, the annual reports. Esperanza used only 27% of its income for the actual charity, meaning 73% went to overhead. Sarah scrolled through annual reports.
Look.
She pointed at her screen.
Alex Cole is on the board. And Vuelta is listed as one of their donors.
How does that help? AJ asked.
Tax evasion.
Keen chuffed.
Not sure those rules apply in the Bahamas.
Keen's phone caught his attention, and he read an incoming text.
What about Cuba? They list a hospital there as one of the recipients of their money.
Sarah asked. Keen grunted.
I looked into that yesterday. You can sell organs in Cuba. It's not illegal.
Sarah's face screwed up.
That's awful.
His brother nodded and looked at AJ.
You should go.
He handed him a paper with a map and coordinates written in the corner. AJ folded the map and put it in his front pocket. Let's go. Sarah shrunk.
Where?
AJ picked up her laptop, knowing she would follow it. Someplace safe. Come on. Sarah stood obediently, and he led her to the garage. He opened the SUV passenger door for her, noticing Keen had moved the tote bag to the back seat. He slammed the door behind him and started up the truck, punching the large garage door.
Where are we going?
She asked weakly. My favorite fishing hole. Sarah blinked.
Are you joking? Do you joke?
AJ smiled. Yeah. We're gonna see your boyfriend. They approached the guardhouse, which, unfortunately, was manned by another one of Benny's goons. Just play along, he murmured to Sarah. AJ rolled down his window. The guard walked over and leaned in.
Who's this?
The guard asked. My date. I gotta drop her off at work, AJ said.
Where do you work?
The guard asked.
The mall.
Not the best answer, but not the worst. The guard narrowed his eyes.
What shift you working?
AJ grunted. Fuck off. She's my girl, and I don't need you showing up at her job. He gassed the engine and pulled away. The guard flipped him off, but AJ considered it a clean getaway. Chapter 12.
Where are we really going?
Sarah asked as they headed to a less populated area. A safe place. Sarah made herself smaller in her seat.
Safe for who?
For you. Relax already, your boyfriend called in some favors. Sarah huffed and pulled out her cell phone, but the battery had died.
Do you have a charger?
No, and you don't want to be tracked right now. He noticed she didn't fight him on the boyfriend part. Sarah frowned.
How much danger am I in?
Let's see. You met with a cartel leader and the DA and NSA, and if anybody finds out, Jorge's in trouble, which means he'd rather you not be a witness. You got yourself involved with fucking up the Kingston cartel, so they'd like you dead or working for them. Neither prospect is good. He shot her a serious stare. Don't go home. We'll give you a job. You won't ever have to deal with this shit.
No, first, I don't even know what kind of work you really do. Second, I'm pretty sure I would eventually make you mad enough that I meet with an accident. Finally, the NSA would be a little put out, considering I just signed a 2-year contract with them.
I heard about that. What did you do?
Same stuff I did today. I guess it's all right if I'm doing it for the NSA.
They drove through forest, and AJ pulled onto an unmarked road, heading up a mountain. Keen's instructions were good, but the road was bad. Even in four-wheel drive, they slipped in a few places. They finally came to a clearing, and he pulled off behind some trees. Sarah looked around nervously.
What now?
She whispered. Now we wait. He leaned his head back and closed his eyes. Sarah slumped down in her seat.
What's the deal with not talking?
Training.
As a mime?
He rolled his eyes. You were the one in the circus.
What was the worst job you ever had?
She pulled her leg up onto the seat and leaned against the door. He glared. You never stop, do you? Sarah thought for a moment.
It's the stress. I'm usually quiet. You scare me, though.
I intimidate you? Sarah's eyebrows rose.
You scare the shit out of me.
He chuckled and leaned back again, closing his eyes. Ditto.
You're kidding, right? How am I intimidating?
Anything happens to you and I have the NSA and the Giovannis on my ass. You broke Juju's nose and nearly crushed my windpipe. I'm pretty sure you blew out that guy's knees on the boat, and that's just in the last 24 hours. Sarah huffed.
Now wait a minute. Juju was an accident. He sort of leaned into my foot. I gave you fair warning before I struck your windpipe.
She narrowed her eyes and pointed at him.
The other incident was self-defense.
Sarah leaned back. AJ shook his head. You've got some major muscle behind you. It takes years to get that kind of respect. Sarah shrugged.
That's because I have the right kind of boobs.
His face screwed up in confusion. Excuse me? Did she have an off button? When the fuck was Thomas going to be there?
I have women's boobs. Man boobs scare other men. What are you, like a B cup?
AJ rubbed the center of his forehead and sighed heavily. He just had to keep her alive for like one more hour. Sarah laughed.
I'm sorry, your boobs are very attractive.
He held his hand up to say stop.
Steroids?
AJ shook his head no. Sarah pressed on.
Are you part Samoan?
I'm part everything. I'm not even the biggest guy in the family, he admitted. His dad was Juju's size until the first heart attack.
Whoa.
She slapped her hand across her mouth.
What's the AJ stand for?
He didn't answer.
Where were you born?
Miami.
Ew, humid.
Sarah half smiled at him. He simply shrugged it off. She tilted her head.
Favorite music?
Too many to mention. She remained quiet for an entire minute. AJ smiled slightly and looked over at her. Are you finally done with the questions?
Don't count on it. Why do you work for Benny?
AJ prickled. I don't work for Benny. My brother and I offer security. We were there installing his security system.
What's going to happen to your brother since you're helping me leave?
Keen arranged it. Benny will get over it. He already has what he bargained for, and he pissed off the NSA. Don't forget it's Jorge's business, not Benny's. AJ decided not to tell her that Benny was behind the kidnapping attempt.
You'll be okay?
Sarah looked like she was really worried about them. It's just business. And Keen was good at making sure they didn't burn bridges.
What do you think happened to Greaves?
I don't know. Maybe Greaves tried to sell his program to the highest bidder. These guys don't like playing games like that. You make a deal, or even hint at making a deal, you need to follow through. AJ stared at her, hoping she was really listening. I don't need to know how you got Ramos' information, but if you're planning on selling information, you better be careful who you deal with. Sarah looked out the window.
Greaves' program never worked. I think whoever bought it figured that out pretty quickly and killed him.
She patted AJ's arm and smiled.
I'm growing on you, aren't I? Look at you offering advice.
A quick smile flickered across his face. You're interesting. She was smart. She'd linked Ramos and Greaves. Why Toffee and Lance? He chuckled. Sarah grinned.
I didn't think they wanted to be called Crew Cut Broken Nose or Thighs of Fury.
AJ grinned. Thighs of Fury isn't half bad.
What does AJ stand for?
That wasn't for her to know. You just took a job at the NSA. Do you have a place to live in DC?
Not yet. I was going to ask around at the office.
Was she really with Thomas? Where will you spend tonight?
Hotel, I guess.
They had a pretty decent safe house set up in DC. I have a place you can use, at least for a little while. We can trade for it.
What exactly do you want from me?
Occasional information and training.
AJ, that doesn't seem like a fair trade.
You're terrible at negotiating. Sarah laughed.
I'll think about it. Anything I search for you, I would have to tell the NSA about.
AJ grimaced. You are a pain. How about you give me a 48-hour head start on the information? Sarah seemed to consider that.
Maybe. We'll see.
She stretched and caught him looking at her ample chest.
What?
Yours are bigger than mine. He pushed his chest out. Every detail was outlined in his tight shirt. Sarah nudged him on the shoulder.
Yeah, but mine don't scare people.
He deflated. Don't make fun of my man boobs.
You started it, but I promise I will never mention them again.
She chewed her bottom lip.
What happens now? I mean, is this over?
AJ hoped it was. Yeah. Probably. Thomas will have more answers for you. But you gave Jorge and Benny Ramos' schedule, and they should owe you a favor since they didn't come through with Greaves' location.
Where do you think he is?
Sarah whispered. Dead, he answered honestly. And if Ramos finds out you've got similar skills, you're at risk, so you need to get out of here. She twisted her hands in her lap. AJ wanted her to ask why he thought Thomas brought her, but she didn't ask any more questions. The sound of a car approaching jerked AJ to attention.
That's Thomas, right?
She asked. Stay down. He opened the door, gun cocked, and aimed at the approaching vehicle. Sarah hunkered down in her seat. The car came to a stop. Thomas poked his head out of a beat-up truck and called out,
Honey, I'm home.
AJ murmured, The offer is still open. You can stay here or at my place in DC. Sarah straightened in the seat, grabbed her tote bag, and nodded at AJ.
Can I let you know later?
Yeah, we'll be in touch. He reached for her. And if you need to disappear, call me. I'll make it happen. She nodded, a frown on her face. She slid out of the car and bounded toward Thomas, who engulfed her in a hug. Whatever. She'd figure out he wasn't worthy of her eventually.
Chapter 13. Keen sat behind Jimmy in the minivan. It was Jimmy's turn to drive, and Keen was regretting making Garza security so democratic.
Where are we headed?
Juju asked.
I thought we were supposed to lie low.
Jimmy scoffed.
We are lying low, but this could be the last time we could get Conk, too.
Keen eyed the scenery. They were headed in the wrong direction. Except we're not headed toward the Conk place.
We're not?
Jimmy pulled the minivan over to the side of the road.
Okay, truth time. I'm thinking of changing my name to Lance.
Keen kept his face impassive, but he wanted to laugh, except Jimmy looked so sincere. Juju chuckled.
Seriously, Lance? It sounds like some country club type.
Jimmy shrugged a shoulder.
I googled Lance Hedford and got nothing.
Yeah, but if you legally change your name, there'll be records, Keen said.
I like Toffee better than O'Grady.
O'Grady said.
Well, duh, I'd make us call you Thighs of Fury,
Randy said.
That's a bomb-ass name.
Jimmy grunted.
I'm serious. I'm gonna change my name.
But Lance?
Juju's face twisted like a question mark.
What about your middle name?
Nope. It's my dad's name.
Jimmy turned around and faced Keen.
What do you think?
There was something desperate in Jimmy's eyes, like maybe he wanted to escape the past. And Lance Hedford was miles away from Jimmy Hedford. I like it. Keen grinned. Okay, Lance, and Toffee, we gonna do a baptism ritual or something?
Nah, let's just get a beer,
Randy said.
Good thinking.
Jimmy U-turned the minivan and headed to the conch place. They were seated in a booth with a chair at the end. Keen ordered a conch to go for AJ and checked his phone. There wasn't a text from AJ yet. Concern about the blowback meandered through his bloodstream, making every nerve tense. Jimmy/Lance kicked his foot.
What's up?
Nothing really. He flashed a smile.
I call bullshit. You worried about the girl or us?
Lance asked. Randy eyed Keen. Both, Keen admitted.
Yeah, I like her.
Randy cocked his head to the side and leaned close to Keen.
So I put a tracker in her tote bag.
Keen grinned, and some of the tension left his body. What were you thinking about doing with that information? Randy grinned.
Hey, nothing really. I just wanted to make sure Thomas got her home instead of pulling some bullshit move.
Juju leaned forward. He had a shiner from sparring with Sarah earlier. He whispered,
"We talking about tracking her?"
Keen nodded.
I was thinking, if she's bait and he's got her.
Juju sat back.
I just don't trust him to do the smart thing.
Me neither,
O'Grady/Toffee said. Keen picked up his phone and dialed Anthony. He picked up on the first ring.
Hey, what's up?
Anthony asked. I'm looking for a boat charter. You know anyone? Keen leaned back to let the server drop off the beers.
I got a cousin who charters, but we talking fishing or fishing?
Anthony's tone was serious. The first, just us having a few beers, enjoying our last day here.
If you're serious, I'll text you his info. If not, try Yelp.
Anthony chuckled.
And about that other thing, you ever find Mr. G?
Nah. Not our problem, Keen said easily, but his body coiled, ready for action. The guys sensed it, because they stopped talking.
That's good, cause I heard he's in Cuba.
Keen felt his stomach drop. I hear they have some nice beaches. The lame comment fell from Keen's mouth. Thanks, Anthony. Text me your cousin's info. We're ready for a quiet day.
Will do.
Anthony ended the call.
What?
Randy asked. Greaves is in Cuba, Keen answered. Juju was searching on his phone.
Esperanza's office is in Cuba.
Didn't the prospectus show that Esperanza donated to a Cuban hospital that specialized in organ transplants?
Lance asked. Keen sat back and eyed his friend.
What? I can read and I paid attention.
Lance narrowed his eyes and dared Keen to question his memory. Keen's phone pinged with the boat charter information. Maybe we should buy a couple of fishing rods so it doesn't look so weird when we go fishing. Randy looked at Keen's phone.
Maybe he rents the equipment, too.
He scooted out of the booth and punched in the number.
2-day rental, yeah?
Randy looked at the table. The guys all nodded. Randy walked outside to make the reservation. The next morning, Keen joined AJ in the cockpit at sunrise. Toffee had captained the boat overnight to just outside Night Bay. AJ offered Toffee a fresh coffee.
Thanks. That tracker Randy used is awesome.
He took a sip.
She's on a boat in the bay there. I figured we'd motor in.
Keen scanned the horizon and noticed a powerboat headed their way. Think that's backup? He pointed to the boat approaching the inlet of the bay.
You think Thomas is finally smart enough to get backup?
AJ asked. Keen nodded. I bet he's a rule follower. Toffee changed course, heading for the inlet.
Well, we don't want to miss the party.
AJ went below and woke the other guys.
What's the plan?
Juju asked when he joined them in the cockpit. We watch. If shit goes sideways, We can assist, but... Keen grimaced. We're in Cuba, and I really don't want to know what a Cuban prison is like. Lance's eyes widened, and he nodded.
Yeah, maybe it's better we sit back.
Hold up. Sarah's on the move.
Toffee pointed to the phone. He changed course again, slowing the boat. The powerboat hadn't entered the bay, either. Time to fish, Keen said. He grabbed a pole and cast the line. There wasn't bait on the end, but he didn't care. It just had to look good. Juju and Randy joined him. AJ sat in the cockpit with binoculars. Lance went below and checked the rifles were fully loaded. They waited, pretending to fish. Toffee had the boat in neutral, and the boat drifted northeast.
Shit, I caught something.
Juju reeled in his line. Keen watched, amused.
This has got to be the stupidest fish ever,
Juju muttered. He struggled with the pole. It bent, and Keen wondered if it could break. Randy reeled his line in and set his fishing pole down. He pulled a knife from his pocket.
Let me cut the line.
Wait, I want to know what I got,
Juju said.
Focus on the objective.
Randy leaned over and cut the line. Juju grunted but then shook his head.
Yeah, you're right.
He cast the hookless line into the ocean.
But at least I caught something.
Yeah, you finally caught something that doesn't require antibiotics,
Toffee quipped. The guys all chuckled, even Juju.
She's coming out of the bay now,
Toffee muttered. Powerboat is following, Keen added. He hoped they'd provide actual support because he didn't know what would happen if they were arrested for killing someone in self-defense of another person in Cuba. The powerboat caught up with the sailboat Sarah was on.
Okay, three guys moved from powerboat to sailboat, carrying a large duffel bag,
AJ said. Big enough for rifles? Keen asked.
I think so. No sight of Sarah, but Thomas is in the cockpit now,
AJ said. Keen wanted to see for himself, but that was stupid.
One guy is going back to the powerboat. The other two are remaining on board. I could be wrong, but they look like they're in vests.
AJ put the binoculars down and glanced at Keen.
They're definitely back up.
Keen nodded, feeling better. AJ resumed looking through the binoculars.
Heads up, check out the sailboat headed toward them,
Randy said. Thomas and two guys are watching the powerboat. Nobody's got eyes on the sailboat. Keen pulled his phone out, ready to text Thomas. Gunshots from the sailboat sprayed across Sarah's boat. Fuck. Get the registration on the sailboat if you can, Keen ordered. Lance came forward, holding the rifles low and putting them on the ground, within easy reach.
One guy is definitely shot. Still no sign of Sarah,
AJ said. They watched helplessly as the sailboat continued on a crash course with Sarah's boat.
Okay, Sarah just popped her head up. She looks fine. She's got a vest on.
The sailboat crashed into Sarah's boat. AJ dropped the binoculars.
Guys, I think she shot Thomas.
He smiled and put the binoculars back up.
Yeah, Thomas is definitely hit. She's up again. She's firing, and this time, she hit her mark. Wait, was that a fatal or non-fatal hit?
Lance asked.
Thomas is non-fatal. He's still moving. Guy she meant to shoot is down.
AJ adjusted the focus.
Time to go.
What's up? Keen asked.
The backup just tossed a body overboard. They've got this handled.
AJ handed the binoculars to Keen. He desperately wanted to see that Sarah was okay, but she remained below. He looked for the powerboat, but it was nowhere to be seen. However, a Coast Guard helicopter was coming toward them. Time to go, he said. Toffee kicked the boat into gear and set a course to the Bahamas.
If you kids don't mind, I'm gonna take a nap.
Randy took his place behind the wheel. Lance put the guns away. Juju stored the fishing equipment. AJ brought Keen a fresh cup of coffee.
She's gonna be okay.
Keen nodded. Yeah, sure. AJ's lips twitched.
Is she the one that got away?
Keen scowled at his brother's bad pun. Besides, it was more a catch-and-release thing, anyway. Nah. I'm not ready for someone like her. AJ scoffed.
Who would be? She's weird.
Keen smacked his brother's arm. We're all weird. He took another sip of coffee. I mean, I want the business to be stable. I want to have what mom and dad had, you know? Keen remembered how close their parents had been. They'd been each other's support and best friend and more. AJ smiled.
Yeah. I want that, too.
He nodded.
You think you'll find her?
Sure. He was pretty sure he already had. Dying to know if Joaquin gets a chance with Sarah and spend more time with the guys of Garza Security? Check out Still Waters, the first book in the series featuring Joaquin and Sarah. The second book, Marina's Risk, features AJ and Marina. When Joaquin Met Sarah by Toby Doyle. The Garza Security prequel narrated by Takia Software. Copyright 2021 Toby Doyle. Production copyright 2021 Toby Doyle.